is on. The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day. The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
It's the news junkie for a Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. Lots to get to today, from will your relationship make it past Valentine's Day to the mysterious case of the missing skier, and is one of these bizarre time travelers actually telling the truth? Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Happy hump day.
Hello, C-Lane.
Good morning.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
That's what it
was. Valentine's Day. Here it is. We're celebrating love today.
Aww.
Kind of. You know, the day when everybody gets together and pretends like this day you love the person you're with more than the other days. And
yeah, because, you know, they told us to do so in the commercials.
You buy cards, flowers.
Chocolates.
It's a $1 billion industry that hangs on a single day. All that stuff. But, you know, it's still nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to be participating in all of this stuff. I woke up and I looked over at Muffin Lady and I said, Happy Valentine's Day. I love you. That's about all I got today, though, so far. I mean,
okay.
Really, really working on. Now, hang on, because C-Lane cheated.
How did he cheat?
This is something that's new that I'm noticing that's exploding.
And it's a great idea.
It is brilliant. But Valentine's Day Eve is becoming the thing. And I saw so many people yesterday who said, you know what's really annoying about Valentine's Day? You can't get any reservations on the 14th. You can't really go do anything or get anything because everybody's last minute rushing to get this kind of stuff. So you go out the night before. There's way less people. There's way less of the nonsense. That's what C-Lane did, I guess, last night.
Yeah, well, originally, when I was planning out the week and leading up to Valentine's Day, I wasn't sure if we were both going to have the day off. And I was like, well, we'll do something the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just so worked out that I was able to do the Valentine's Day a day before. Much easier.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Walked right into the restaurant of my choosing, which did not take reservations, and there was plenty of, you know, sat right down. Turns out it was late night happy hour.
Well, meanwhile, tonight, that's not happening.
Hell no.
No way.
You're not walking in anywhere.
And on top of it, this brilliant plan was given the day after that it could actually, you know, go through. So I did not take advantage of Valentine's Day Eve.
No.
But I did get a suggestion that may work. Obviously, there's probably reservations out the hoo-ha for the nice restaurants. But there's two things I was told. One, the bar is likely empty.
Right.
Because
yeah.
The couples are sitting at the table, you know, looking eye to eye. Or think about hotel restaurants. Hotel restaurants, if there's couples there, they're going out. They're going to the town. But the hotel restaurants, they have a little bit more of a, I don't know, empty seat.
Hotel restaurants are for Valentine's Day cheaters. That's what that's
cheaters.
For. Yeah, just somebody's holing up in the hotel room for the night, and then they're going over to the hotel restaurant. But there's not enough of them to fill up all the seats. So you're right, that's probably a way to swoop in, get a good meal, and you don't have the reservations already at this point.
Exactly.
It's funny, we were talking earlier, I think last week, about Hooters doing the promotion of shredding your ex's picture for, and then for free wings, you get 10 for 10.
Yeah.
And I ran into somebody that works at Hooters randomly. I saw it on the t-shirt. I was like, hey, you work there. Tell me about this shred your ex thing, and are you guys really expecting like a huge pop for this?
This is the thing where you go in there with a photograph or whatever of your ex, and then you put it through the shredder and you get something free.
She said the gimmick is wildly popular, so much so that this is the third year they've done it, and Hooters as a corporation is not typically known for having long-running things.
Promotions.
That stretch out, stuff like that.
Huh.
You know, they'll try something, if it doesn't stick, whatever. But they're like, this shred your ex thing, for two reasons. People have fun with it. A lot of couples go and shred pictures of both their exes.
Oh, their exes?
Yeah, which is super weird.
That is weird.
And then another thing that Hooters sometimes benefits from is the people who don't plan, like I tend to be sometimes. And then, like, just show up somewhere, and they're like, no, it'll be fine. We can get, you know, we'll cross our fingers.
Wait, there's a guy out there somewhere who missed all the reservations and goes, baby, I know a place we can go.
No.
And then bring somebody to Hooters?
No, they show up to the restaurant they want to go to, and they're like, yeah, idiot, it's Valentine's Day. There's a two-hour wait for tables. And he goes, I'm hungrier than 2 hours. Let's go get some wings.
I have an idea, honey. It's a place where the chicken is delicious. Mm-hmm. The breasts are on display.
Chicken breasts.
And the french fries are out of this world.
Better believe it.
You're going to get slapped by most people for them.
Hey, honey, listen. Let's go back home. Let's put on some music. Let's grab pictures of our exes and head over to Hooters.
The
whole commiserating over both of your exes thing is really bizarre to me. Just really, really weird. If you want to do something to really risk it all on Valentine's Day, you guys, have you both watched Black Mirror? I've never watched an episode of it, but I want to.
Yes, I mean, not all of it. I would say maybe 6 episodes out of all the seasons, which I know there's like 3 or 4, so I know a little bit about it.
Oh, damn, they're up to season 4 already?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, they've got an episode in season 4 called Hang the DJ, which is all based off the Smiths song.
I love this song.
You know, this song, if you don't know
it.
And
panic on the streets of London.
Oh boy.
I'm not letting you turn that down. I'll stop.
Yeah, go ahead, it's Valentine's Day. Now you just have to sing it to your loved ones.
You
the DJ?
Oh yeah, you're right. It's not a very romantic song now that I think about it. But in this episode of Black Mirror, they have this software where couples can come together. Now mind you, don't jump all over me here. I haven't seen this, but each one of the people in the couple puts their fingerprint down or you know, puts their finger on this thing, and it tells them how long the couple is going to be together.
I saw that episode.
So you have seen this
one.
All right. So then today, for Valentine's Day, they made that an actual thing.
So it's an app that they use, and they made an actual thing to let you know how much time you have together.
Well, try this. Go to, right now, if you can, coach.dating, which is weird. I did not know that was a TLD, but coach.dating.
Okay.
What's a TLD?
The .com, .eu, .co, .uk, that kind of stuff. And when you go there, you click the button to start it, then you get a link. You send the link to somebody and say C-Lane, and then it says, hey, it's waiting for you, and C-Lane clicks it. It gears up, it runs the numbers, and then it tells you how long your relationship is going to ask, or last, whichever.
Now, I'm just getting the spinning circle, so I think a lot of people are trying to get this answer right now. All right, welcome. Tap anywhere to get started. Try to find out if your partner is the ultimate match. Put your trust in the system. Are you ready to do this?
Then you hit that, and that's going to give you a link. And then you just copy that. You send it to whoever. Like, try sending that to C-Lane's Gmail.
Okay. I mean, should I send it to my significant other, or am I doing this?
Is she going to be able to do it now?
What if it says that Celia and I are going to be together for the next 10 years? Does that change everything?
Yeah, that's a better case scenario than if it says you and your significant other are going to be together for 2 more days.
All right, it is making way through the cloud to your inbox, Christopher.
Through the series of tubes that makes up the internet, over to C-Lane. And now you got to click it on your end. This is straight out of Black Mirror. And they say that this is going to tell you how long your relationship is going to last. And you know damn well, somewhere out there, there's a couple that loves Black Mirror. That, oh, let's just do this. It'll be fun. We're sitting in here in bed this morning. Let's try this out. They do it, and it says like 2 days. And then a little tiny fight starts. And that fight goes to the next level. And then the next level. And then all of a sudden, somebody will break up on Valentine's Day over this stupid little website.
Oh, I'm sure.
All right.
All right, we ready? We're starting?
We're ready. We'll have 5 seconds to decide whether to reveal your expiry date. Start.
Get ready.
There it goes.
And tap now to reveal. Both parties must tap at the same time. 3, 2, 1.
Tapping.
Calculating results. 17 years.
Bad.
Christopher.
Wow, you guys will be pretty old. That must mean somebody's going to die at that age. That's just what comes to mind.
Damn,
get right around there, some mysterious accident or weird thing happens. So you could try that out. What is it? Dating.coach? Coach.dating?
Coach.dating.
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 You're right. That's a terrible idea.
If you did that, and maybe it's set up so it doesn't give out any low numbers.
If it makes you feel any better, in the episode, once you do get the number, you're supposed to go to a cottage and live the entirety of your time given.
That's the next level of
Can't leave. And then, you know, a car picks you up after it's done and you never talk to each other again. So at least you could go home after finding out this number.
Yeah, and then you could just say, oh, it's just a stupid website. But somebody out there will be fighting about this whole thing. Quickly, before we go to break, I don't know if you guys saw this, and I do know that we are getting on a plane very soon, so maybe this is not the best of news. Did you see this United flight where the engine cover blew off midair?
Excuse me?
The cover of the engine on the wing of this flight.
Engines don't need to be covered.
Oh, okay, whatever it
They're
was.
Fine. Have you ever seen a guy driving around without a hood on his car?
No, I haven't. I've seen a guy driving around with a different color hood, but a hood nonetheless.
Whatever it was, it led to that whole nightmare scenario where you're on the plane and they go, brace yourselves, brace for impact, brace. And they're on the flight when this engine is just busting apart, waiting for their emergency landing. Now, hold on. I think you can hear it in a second, but they just said, brace! You can hear them way up in the front saying it. No, thank you. If that ever happened on a flight I was on,
I thought it was supposed to be...
That would make me... I would panic.
So did they crash?
No, they landed okay, but there was a full-on emergency landing. Because somebody looked over and the engine was flying apart.
Well, I don't know if this is going to make either of us feel better, but we won't have an opportunity to emergency land considering we're going to be over the ocean.
No. Yeah, and the plane that we're in, as far as I know, is not like Launchpad McQuack's plane. It doesn't have those landing in the water things, the pontoon things.
Launchpad McQuack.
I didn't know the name of the plane. That was as close as I could get to a descriptor right there. That's where we'll end that. All right. What were we going to say, C-Land? I'm sorry.
I don't remember. I thought you're not
He's thinking about
to,
dying.
I thought you're not supposed to brace. That makes it worse on your body because it tenses up.
I think it's just something to keep you occupied before you die. That's what all those things are. They drop the air mask and they start giving you oxygen. They do all these. It's not going to do anything for you if a 747 plows into the ground.
Yeah.
So it's just a routine to kind of keep you going through everything. When we come back, we'll dig into your dispatches and a raise for Orange County teachers. That's what the movement is all about today. Do they deserve this much? That's the conversation next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Reminding the world that their genitals are unsafe. And neither is C-Lane's phone number. The News Junkie.
Oh, it's now your dispatches. Sent through the News Junkie app in just a moment here. It's a big question. People are always interested in this and thinking about this. How much money should people make for what they do? And that question is applied almost more than anything to teachers and for so many reasons. I think right now it's probably one of the more difficult times to be a teacher in recent history. And there's a couple of reasons for this. One is a societal shift that drops respect for certain characters and figures in society that used to get more. Mm-hmm. For instance, it used to be that if there was a bad neighborhood, a drug dealing, prostitution, things like that going on, and a pastor walked through that area, that immediately those things would kind of cease to happen and people for a moment or two would respect what was going on.
Right.
And that now that is not the way it is anymore. It used to be that teachers got a level of respect in the classroom. Sabrina, I imagine growing up, even though you might have given some teachers a hard time, for the most part, it was you respect the teachers.
Absolutely. There were someone to, scared is a weird word, but you knew that if you didn't do it, you would get in trouble.
Yeah, they were the adult. Behind maybe your parents, I would say, they were the ones that you were worried about the most. You're like, I could get in trouble here. There could be bad things that happen. And that is dropped as well. So you go, man, to be a teacher right now with the students that are disrespectful, there's students fighting teachers. I mean, how many videos have we seen of classroom antics where you go, nope, never want to do it? Why would anybody who is going through the tract of learning about the education system ever want to continue on seeing how bad it can be, like a war zone in the classroom?
I know I wouldn't. I mean, I have met many teachers in my life, and after seeing and talking about the things that we have the last 5 years, I'm like, how do you guys do it?
Mm-hmm.
How is it possible? What is it like? Tell me that this isn't everywhere. And I have so many teacher friends are like, yeah, it is. I mean, we have to be very careful with the way that we go about things because it could turn violent right. and lose control.
And then the budget sucks. You always hear about these teachers. How pathetic is it that we have to have websites where teachers do crowdfunding mm-hmm. to get art projects done?
Yeah.
Like, that's sad in some way. All the stuff that I grew up with in school has kind of melted away. See, like, when you were in school, they still have a music program?
When I was in private school, they had a very scaled down music program. They didn't have definitely didn't have a marching band because they didn't even have a football team at the time that I left the private school that I attended.
Yeah.
But when I was in like public school, grade school, we had a kick-ass music programs.
Well, they did the numbers here, and all this comes up because teachers in the state of Florida, specifically in Orange County, actually, Central Florida Teachers Union, say that 79% of teachers reported in a survey that they considered quitting because they're not happy with their contract and the amount of overtime work. A third of all the teachers it was sent to completed this thing, filled it out, and the average salary, according to this, at least, for these teachers is $48,245 a year, which is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, that's okay, but that's the average salary. You're going to have some teachers who are starting out just making right around the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
You have some that have been there for a very long time, making a little bit more than that. And on average, they work 44 weeks a year, 37.5 hours a week, which makes their hourly pay $29.24 an hour. But they put in a lot of overtime.
Oh, yeah.
And the overtime, they say, is something they're not compensated for. The overtime, extra 20 hours a week in some cases, is worth an extra $25,731 a year. So now they're fighting for a raise in pay for these teachers. And they're trying to get that number at $75,000. I look at this and go, you know, teachers, they do go through all this. They do deserve more money. But when you're trying to get a $25,000 increase in pay for teachers in the state of Florida, that's a lot of teachers and a lot of money altogether. So the only thing I could think of when I saw this was maybe this is a negotiating tactic. Like, they're going up against the school board, and they're saying, here's what we want, and then starting to get flexible from there.
I could see where that could be a tactic. But at the same time, how long has it been, $48,000? How long do teachers typically go on with that same pay rate without getting much of an increase? I mean, I'm pretty sure that they've taken away the whole 10-year thing.
Well,
so there's not even that kind of stability that you can look forward to as a teacher.
Yeah, not in like grade school. They're not going to have that, I don't believe. But the jump here would be so significant with, I mean, in Central Florida alone, they've got, what, 5,200 teachers, if these numbers are accurate. 5,200 times 25,000, now we're talking about some money. Now, what I'd be interested in hearing is, I know we have a lot of teachers who listen to the show, if that annual salary sounds out of whack to you, like, is the money that they're suggesting off here? They're saying the average teacher's salary, $48,245. I'm just going by the numbers that I'm seeing here, but that's the push. They want overtime, they want higher pay, and there's a lot of debate over what to pay these teachers. The only thing I can tell you right now is that they're certainly underpaid, and they're going through more than they ever have with less resources than they ever have in the state of Florida.
Now, I could have sworn yesterday I saw something on the news that they were going on strike.
The teachers?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this is a story that's connected to that, but that there was going to be a strike held because of it.
Well, yeah, there could be. I think they're just starting out these conversations. Perhaps they're further into it.
If teachers strike, do the kids just get a huge bonus of vacation days that they have to later make up to somewhere?
Or do they have teacher scabs? Like, do all the part-time teachers, the substitute teachers come off the bench and they're rubbing their hands together like, this is our time right now. I don't know. I'm sure that's happened many, many times before.
So I guess it was earlier in the week that Orange County teachers, they were protesting ahead of a school board meeting as part of the ongoing fight for the higher pay.
All right,
so I think that's where the story is stemming from.
So they were threatening. Did they actually do the strike or they were threatening a strike?
No, they were protesting. So they said to bring awareness to the issue, they're vowing not to work off the clock this week. Orange County teachers said that 79% of teachers reported in a survey that they considered quitting. That's, yeah, I'm reading the same thing here, but I'm seeing video right now with signs outside, so I don't know if this is continuing or they're not doing any overtime this week at all.
The union's very organized. I'm sure they have a plan for all of this to try to juice as much out of it as they can. So before meetings and stuff, they want to cause a little bit of ruckus and get some attention, and then they throw out the amount of money that they want. So that's another level. It goes on and on. Let's talk to Joey. Go ahead, Joey.
Hey, what's going on, Sean?
Hey, go ahead.
My wife is a teacher. She teaches at a Title I school,
mm-hmm.
which is where the not a lot of money flowing around those homes.
Right.
I volunteer there. I help. They have a bunch of kids that are just looking for male mentors. So I'm actually going over to play kickball with a bunch of them right now.
Oh, cool. Does that number that I threw out at you, they're saying the average teacher's salary is $48,000, sound high or low?
It sounds high. If my wife made $48,000, I wouldn't have to work like four part-time jobs.
Right. So is she new at teaching, Joey?
No, she's been teaching for a decade.
Damn, so she's been teaching for 10 years and she's not close to that $48,000 number?
Not incredibly close, no, sir.
So there must be something skewing that, I'm imagining. Like maybe the fact that some teachers make so much more.
Well, I'm thinking it might be the principals and the superintendents and like people. Like if you're high on the rung in that industry, you can make bank. But if you're a new teacher, you're in trouble, man. Like these kids coming out of college now that are teaching, it doesn't surprise me that some of them are still living at home.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah, I mean, that is an unfortunate thing. Thank you, Joey. Let's go over to Kelvin. You're on Real Radio. Go ahead, Kelvin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, I know it's the teacher's salary and stuff, but if you minus their taxes and what they have to pay and everything, they're only making about 34 grand a year, really.
Mm-hmm.
But my son, he was a four-star athlete in high school, went to college on scholarship. He came home, tutored 50 kids, and they passed math. He gave up all four of his scholarships and became a math teacher, a middle school math teacher.
Really?
And yes.
I'm sure gave up just an unbelievable potential salary to do that.
I mean, he gave up a lot of money to become a middle school teacher. That's why it sucks every time I hear the teachers are getting such a hard time about pay and, mm-hmm. and things like that when they're dealing with your kids, especially these people who, you know, who go off and make more money. They're dealing with your unruly kids and things like
yeah.
that. You're making more money than them.
Kelvin, does he ever sit down and go, oh, God, I think I made a terrible decision here?
He just thought this is his first year teaching.
Oh,
so he'll tell you that next year, maybe.
All right, thank you, Kelvin. Yeah, this is going to be like a couple of years down the road where he goes, what in the name of God?
Hey, Pops, let's go throw the pigskin out back and see if I still got it.
What did I get myself into here? Let's talk to Matt. Go ahead, Matt.
You know, I'm so sick of these teachers, man. They work 7-8 months a year. Come on, 40 grand a year. That's enough, people.
You're saying the amount of money the teacher's making right now is enough or too much? Oh, he's gone.
I feel like he's called before and said something
yeah.
like that.
Because that wasn't
he just
what
might
he,
be that guy.
Wasn't what he told me he was going
to
say.
That's because he's anti-teacher and he's scared to admit that to anybody. He just wants to do a drive-by, scream it out there. I don't care about the, you look at it and you go, they work 3/4 a year. They do this, they do that. You do it. You do it. You can tell me that somebody who does crime scene cleanup makes an obscene amount of money. I don't care. You do it. You don't want to do it. People don't want to do it. Therefore, the people who do it should be compensated in a way that makes a lot more sense. Look, I'm with the teachers here just because of the warfare that they have to deal with all the time. And tell me when the last time that people really saluted a teacher was. In fact, many times now when a kid gets in trouble, the parent goes after the teacher, not their own kid.
Oh, absolutely.
Who screws things up, and it's generally their fault. Let's go to Skeezix. Go ahead, Skeezix.
Hey, Sean. Hey, news junkies.
Hey, go ahead.
My wife, Miss Skeezix, is a teacher out here in Brevard County.
Yeah.
Now, that's correct. It's more average, leaning towards the $30,000 range for salaries. She has a dual bachelor's degree from a state university. She's very qualified. She actually just scored extremely high on her, they have formal reviews periodically just to test how effective they are as teachers. I think if counties statewide increased salaries for teachers, you'd see two things. One, you'd see a state crackdown on the effectiveness of teachers.
Yeah.
The flip side to this is I'm not a teacher by career, but I do tutoring on the side. I tutor math and science for middle school and high school students. And a lot of the issue with why they need tutoring in the first place is ineffective teachers. So you'd see is.
Yeah, but then you go, Skeezik, you go down to the level of how do you determine the effectiveness of these teachers if you're going to tie that to these higher salaries? That's the tough part, right?
That's what these formal reviews are for. So what they do with these formal reviews is a school higher up, like a vice principal or principal, sits in on the class and watches the teacher for a day and looks at the student records for how well they're doing grade-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, what these formal reviews are used for is is for pay increases for sure, but the pay increases are so minuscule.
Like, what are we talking about?
I'm talking about maybe $2,000 additional dollars a year, which if you factor that out is well, that's if you get like super high scores.
Yeah.
So if you get decent scores, it might be like $500 raised per year, which I mean, if you factor that out, that's even at $2,000 additional dollars a year, that's maybe like 50 extra bucks after taxes for each paycheck.
Right. And then you got to be fighting for so many years to actually build that into a significant increase in money. All of it takes such a long time, which a lot of these teachers don't necessarily, because of the circumstances, want to spend doing this. I wouldn't. I would want nothing to do with it.
Uh-uh.
And I think it's a cool thing. Hell, I mean, sometimes you can watch a movie. Teaching is one of those weird things where there could be a movie, Jaime Escalante style, what the hell was the name of that? Stand and Deliver or whatever, mm-hmm. where there's a teacher and they turn him into a hero in the movie.
Exactly.
And you're like, yeah, wow.
It's totally possible. But I also will look at these videos of kids picking up desks and throwing them at their teachers' heads. I'm like,
nope.
You're a hero for not leaving and running out immediately.
Yeah, for dealing with this stuff. Let's go to a dispatch really quickly. Here is Alaskan Kangaroo with a dispatch.
So what people don't understand is that teachers spend not a large amount, but they do spend some of their money on their students. You know, they have to buy their own school supplies.
Expensive.
I think my mom was a teacher. I think she told me they get maybe $200 to $250, something like that, to spend on their classroom, however they want to spend it. And then anything other than that is on them. So, you know, like new teachers who start up, they have no books. Mm-hmm. They also, I know that my mom used to buy, you know, her students who, like, you know, didn't bring lunch because they couldn't afford it. They, you know, came from like a rough area, they couldn't afford lunch, didn't bring anything. She would buy them lunch sometimes. It's things like that that people don't take into account.
Yeah, that's
up. You know, just the fact that they go on strike, like, there's a reason teachers are upset. It's because they don't make enough money for what they're doing. You know, it takes a special kind of person to be a teacher. So I think they absolutely deserve it. That's just my opinion.
All right. Thank you, Alaskan Kangaroo. Appreciate that. Keep your dispatches coming in. There's a reason why people are upset about this, and especially people who are teachers or are with teachers in a relationship that understand all the additional things. The question is, what's the right amount of money? Are they going to get a raise up to $75,000 a year? That's what they're looking for. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio Orlando on Facebook, brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. From the game of magnets, taking over the world one terrible person at a time. This is the News Junkie.
More of your dispatches on the way. I almost had a heart attack last night, I'm telling you. Muffin Lady and I were watching some movies or documentaries or something. And Junkie Cat gets out on the patio, which the cat always likes to hang out on the patio. The cat will go out there and just sit on the patio furniture, breeze blowing through the hair, not give a damn about anything until a train comes by or something. Mm-hmm. But just as cool as can be out there, excited. But every once in a while, the cat will go out and Junkie Cat will go to the bars on the patio area or the the balcony and put the whole front half of her body through the bars.
Nope.
And start leaning over, looking down below.
So basically she's a Russian YouTube blogger.
Yeah, like an extreme sports stunt kind of thing. And just her cat ass and cat tail is on the inside of the bars now. And I'm watching and I'm going, get it! And you don't want to say too much. Because then I think I'm going to scare the cat, and then, whoo, now this thing is flying down. And you can say what you want about cats landing on their feet. They drop that many stories, it's splat. The cat's dead. It's over with. And I'm watching that going, oh, my God. This whole thing is stressful to see this. So then I'm thinking about banning her from the patio and stuff, but you can't do that. Well, on and on.
You are banned, no longer allowed out here. You hear me, Missy?
It reminded me of the one time, because Muffin Lady's such a fan of cats. She loves cats. That we went to a cat show, and I think I told you guys afterwards, it's the weirdest experience ever, going to a cat show.
Wasn't it a very small cat show?
It wasn't very big, yeah. It was at, one of the ballrooms of a hotel, and there are all these people with their cats in their cages, and a couple of vendors selling stuff, and people go nuts for that stuff. And when you take that stuff all the way up to the very highest level, it actually gets even more and more and more bizarre. And you know that because this week was the week, friends. Westminster Dog Show was in full effect.
Oh, yes. I totally forgot.
What do they win? Did anybody know what you win for a prize? Is it like $1 million?
Besides bragging rights forever?
You get that.
I feel like you get like a good amount of money and then don't you get like a pedigree sponsorship or something like that?
You must get big time stuff because this is the dog show that everybody talks about with Westminster. And you know how they go out there and they're like very fancy about it, the way they jog around with their dogs, mm-hmm. which hilariously they did this year, and I think they do most years on a green surface. So a bunch of people, including Jimmy Kimmel, took the green and used it as a green screen and made the dogs disappear and just had the people like running around without any dogs. But this show is huge, and I'd love to know what that prize is if we could figure that out. But the winner of Best in Show was Flynn, a Bichon Frise.
Yay! Yay! Flynn.
It just sounds like a very fancy dog. The Bichon Frise went like this. They're the winner. Bring him out. Oh,
21 started tonight in the non-sporting group.
Wow. Flynn, amazing.
And we'll find the group winner here in just a moment.
Listen to this guy's voice. He totally sounds like he could be doing play-by-play in football or something. But this is where he's at. He's at Westminster. Well, look at Flynn as he comes out of the field.
Started tonight in the non-sporting group. We're down to 8. And we'll find the group winner here in just a moment.
You got this, Flynn.
She's not comparing each dog to the other dog. She's actually comparing the dog to its own individual standard while she's looking at these dogs right now.
And she's got a lot of beautiful examples out there. Many of them are top dogs in their
It's a big deal. Yeah,
she looks like Flynn is being pulled out with Bill McFadden. Kate with Christian Manolopoulos.
So can I have the boss?
It's exactly like Best in Show, the movie.
Jorge Oliveira, and we'll see who's pulled out for it. Jason.
Oh, wow.
Here she goes. Going to make the announcement.
There it is. Flynn, the winner, Best in Show at the Westminster Dog Show, and the winner of God knows what. I'm trying to find it.
Same here. I can tell you what the National Dog Show dogs get.
What do they get?
The Kennel Club of Philadelphia, I guess that's when it ends on airs on NBC in Thanksgiving time.
Uh-huh.
They get the coveted title and $1,000.
What? Just $1,000 for a televised event?
Yeah, this can't be the... Obviously, it's not the Westminster one, but...
Original prizes for winning Westminster varied, with one such reward being pearl-handled pistols.
Okay.
Now, on the National Dog Show's entrant information page, they say $20,000 in prize money is awarded.
That's it total? That's not a lot.
I think that's, it's not each it's getting $20,000. It's spread around.
Yeah. So. I know that if your dog won, then you can use your dog to, you know, stud out and make a bunch of money. But the weirdest thing is, they have concessions just for the dogs at these dog shows.
Cute.
And they spoil the hell out of them. The AP had this morning. They said, Benjamin is a grand champion English toy spaniel, but he's not a champ at chow. The otherwise undemanding dog tends to balk at any food after a couple of meals. One treat he never refuses, devil's balls, or Satan balls, they call them as well. Sauerkraut, and that's it. No hot dog, just sauerkraut.
Balls of sauerkraut?
Yeah, Satan balls is what they call them, and this dog will eat them. Other dogs, I guess, really love these Satan balls, and many of the other animals have specialty things that they enjoy, and then they set up like concessions for this within the venue.
According to ABC News, the Westminster winning team gets no prize money.
Nothing?
Instead, there's a shiny bull, a lifetime of memories, and importantly...
Can you imagine if we do a contest on the radio show? We go, no prize, but...
Sea Lion, what do they win today?
Live trivia, what do you win? A lifetime of memories.
But the biggest thing, I guess, is lucrative breeding fees, which is... It's good for the owners of the dog and for the dog. The dog gets to bang a bunch of other dogs.
Yeah.
To try and spread that.
Okay, but you know what they're telling you? That's still not them awarding you anything.
No.
They're like, hey, if you get this title, you could charge whatever you want now. You're
sure.
Welcome.
Yeah. And not to mention the fact that they're making money hand over fist. They must be making a killing on the show itself and just to participate.
Stud fees can range in the tens of thousands, according to Rob on the tech service.
Well, that's good, but it also costs a lot of money. So there's a couple that had their dog out there, and their dog didn't like Satan balls, I guess. And it liked raw meat and an all-raw diet. And they say Dawn and Timothy Eilber spend $1,000 a month feeding their dogs.
Oh, my God.
So they treat these animals. And then they give you no prize? There should be a revolt, a revolution.
Yeah, a dog strike.
In that world, then all of a sudden you got no dogs to have a dog show. You're screwed. That could be bad for them. Here's Piffy MC with a dispatch.
Hey there, Sean Watson.
Hey.
Just got done listening to the bonus show on Secret Shows. And I got to say, your son sounds like a pretty cool dude. I drink a Mike's Hard Lemonade with him anytime. Love the show, man.
That kid, man. He hit me up the other day, and I'm such a sucker. And he did it right after the Secret Show. He goes, one of his favorite rappers is Tyler, the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, hey, Tyler, the Creator's in concert, and I need to get a ticket. And, you know, I only have this much money. And he had like $65 on his card that I have for him. And so I'm thinking, I gave you that $65. All right, he needs $30 more dollars to get this ticket. So I send him $30 more dollars to get the ticket. And he goes, oh, no. Turns out with Ticketmaster charges, he hit me up three times in a row.
How much is Tyler, the Creator, charging for his show?
$130 with all the service charges for a ticket to that guy's show.
Wow.
These shows are getting more and more expensive, but I fell for it somehow. Here's Pool Guy.
Happy Valentine's Day, junkies. Aww. To my girlfriend, Heidi. You're beautiful, and I love you very much. I can't wait to see you tonight. And to Sean,
yeah?
If I don't get my magnet today, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the same as I always do. I'm going to listen tomorrow and every day, but with a scowl on my face.
Uh-oh.
You've been warned, sir.
Well, I got just enough time here for this, and that's good news. If you signed up for Secret Shows and never got your welcome pack, which is the sticker, the Secret Shows sticker, and the Secret Shows magnet, currently they're the inverted Secret Shows magnet, or if you gifted Secret Shows to anybody and you didn't get that, they are all in the mail as of this morning.
All right.
So if you don't get yours by, let's say, Friday or Monday at the latest, if you don't get it by that time, it depends on where in the country you are, it might take longer to get there, but if you don't get it by Friday or Monday, email secretshows@thenewsjunkie.com because everything that's supposed to go out, all the ones where you emailed and said, hey, I didn't get my, everything is in the mailbox as of today. But remember this before you freak out and hyperventilate. I did this again this morning. I dump all these magnets into the mailbox And because it's magnets and because they're little thin envelopes, they stick on the inside of the mailbox.
Yeah, we didn't think about that challenge when we came up with the magnet stuff. But
so they're probably stuck in there, though. I would guess this guy, at least some stuck in some mailboxes.
Well, we do have a good amount of postal service workers that listen to the show. So if you guys could just check the internal parts of the mailboxes and hook us up. Thank you.
Look around in there a little bit and see if there's any leftovers and get them sent off. But if you don't get yours by, let's say, Monday, secretshows@gmail.com secretshows@gmail.
At the news junkie.
I can't even remember what it is. I spent a lot of time writing names and addresses on envelopes last night, so I'm blurred out from it. Secretshows@thenewsjunkie.com if you don't get yours.
I'm surprised that you're still handwriting them.
I'm not. It was the last batch, which I had to pull from email instead of a database that I actually had to handwrite, but there was a whole bunch backed up in there. So those are out, ready to go. And if you haven't signed up, shame on you, folks. We're doing a show from the Bahamas this week, for God's sake. You're going to want to be in on this.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
All you have to do is get your app account all set up by searching for The News Junkie in the App Store. And then, of course, go to GetSecretShows.com. Follow the directions. Any problems? SecretShows@TheNewsJunkie.com. When we come back, a very controversial accident, all because of who the driver was. What happened down in South Florida? The details, they're on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Talking on the radio, not your thing?
You can do this, you can do this, you can do this.
There's an easier way. It's called texting. 77031. Real Mobile. It's real easy. Real Mobile is powered by David Moss Chevrolet.
From Real Radio.
Making up for a lack of formal education by purchasing the first and subsequent rounds. You're listening to The News Junkie.
Everybody gets high.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yes.
This is our audio Valentine's Day card.
Will you be mine?
And please, please, please remember, it's Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is not a thing.
That's like, I think I stopped saying Valentine's when I stopped saying library.
It's like when I was little and I said Paschetti and it just hammered home. That's not how you say it.
It's not time for Valen.
Mm-mm. It's Valentine's Day and a happy one to you. I don't know if they still do all the stuff that they used to. The Valentine's Day cards in class might be a thing of the past now.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or you got to give everybody one. That's probably the case.
I think I always had to give everybody one, or maybe that was a rule of my mother's or something like that. Like, I think even after I would write all the Valentine's Day cards, which is just writing people's names on everyone.
Yeah.
I would bring a couple extra in case I forgot anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had one?
Yeah.
Now, that was in middle school. I remember in high school, you know, that wasn't the case. You couldn't bring 500 Valentines, but you had the opportunity to send roses to people. So that was a big day if you were going to get a rose from a secret admirer.
Well, you had to buy them through the school?
Yes.
So the school monetized this?
Oh, yeah. The school made bank on Valentine's Day.
The school said, hey, everybody else is making money off this. Why don't we do this? And now I could send secret roses to people.
It would probably be some club or some department to raise money for their stuff. Like at our school, man, the big thing in the morning was Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
And the drama club sold them and, made bank.
Make a whole bunch of money off of that. But what I always think about is, and people don't understand this, it's a little known plight, but a very significant plight nonetheless. Valentine's Day is tough for ugly people. It's not an easy time. You get nervous. Little kids know if they're ugly. Little kids aren't stupid. As long as you're of a certain age, you look at them and you're like, damn it, I'm ugly. And then you have to go to school on Valentine's Day, and you're not going to get the most Valentines. You're not going to get the little sweetheart candies with Be Mine on them, mm-hmm. or a box of chocolates. And if you give them to somebody, they're probably going to be grossed out by you doing it. So to all the ugly people out there who know it and don't know it, happy Valentine's Day.
Some ugly people that are going to have Valentines.
Some people are able to work their way in and still have a great Valentine's Day despite being ugly. I've made a career out of this so far. I've been successful at it. And you can too. But what about the forgotten folks? the singles here on Valentine's Day? Well, something for you as well. Pornhub is offering free access to its premium service this Valentine's Day.
I heard about this.
They said that they had a bit of a spike in traffic last year, which is what I told you was going to happen with the damn story.
I think I saw an ad for this when we were looking at those stupid deepfakes.
Oh, really? For this out there? So I guess on Valentine's Day itself, they're saying, what do they have as premium content on a porn site?
I don't know. I mean, from the Wikipedia page, it says here that you have access to Pornhub Select already.
Pornhub Select? What's that?
Hold on. Let me figure that out.
Are we talking like Ultra HD or something?
I just, you know, if you go to Pornhub.com right now.
Yeah.
If you go off to the side, you get to pick your category or the latest. Or it says Pornhub Select.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that's just mobile.
And you get that for Valentine's Day for free. I'm guessing.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess you do. Or maybe there's even another section. God, man, the gifts that they have on the homepage are very distracting. I just saw like five different and sex moves in just 5 seconds.
Do you know what gets me about that stuff?
just all over the place, man.
What gets me about that stuff is, you know damn well that's not random. There is science behind what they put on the front page of these porn sites.
Wait, so they're saying that this gift right here is based on the cookies browser?
No. I'm saying that is based on an algorithmic prediction that they use to determine what stuff is going to get clicked the most on that homepage. So when you see some weird stuff up there, like every once in a while you see like daddy, daughter, da, da, and you go, what the hell? It's because their algorithm says that people click the hell out of that stuff. Even if you're not signed in, even if you're private, you're going to see that weird ass stuff.
Yeah, but right above all the weird stuff is the big banner saying free Pornhub premium on Valentine's Day. No credit card, no strings, just free premium.
Oh, there you go. Well,
thank you.
Single folks, there you go. You got something you could do. You could watch a little Pornhub on a very extreme and high level if you're interested in that.
Now, it does say presented by Satisfier Men. I wonder if this has anything to do with them.
The saddest fireman?
Satisfier with a Y and then men presented by this whole thing.
I'm missing this. Like, it's not like these are sad firemen,
no.
Right?
Okay. Satisfier.
Like, oh.
Like satisfy.
Oh, okay. All right.
Men.
I mean, there's a lot of weird porn out there. I thought maybe there was crying firemen. That was a thing somebody was into.
We can put out fires, but not the one in our heart.
Well, it's very sad. But if you're sad on Valentine's Day, you could be happy by going over to Pornhub and watching an Ultra HD or whatever they give you for that.
I'm going to be signing up.
Free thing that they're signing everybody up for, including Sabrina right now. In South Florida, Western High is the name of the school. And
I know Western.
You know where this is?
We used to play them in football, yeah.
Western High is a school where this young girl went to. She is a sophomore at 16 years old. And unfortunately, she died earlier this week. Her friends are remembering her today. She was crossing the road. And they said she was, but might have been crossing where there wasn't a crosswalk, which I don't know if that's fading out of style too. Hey, C-Lane and I took C-Lane home from the station about a week or two ago, and there was some girl who crossed the street downtown right in the middle of the road,
yeah.
Right in front of the car, no hesitation, no looking, no nothing. Would have plowed into her and killed her if there was
Sean.
any kind of contact between the two of us. So maybe she just went across at a place where she shouldn't have been, but the lady who hit her, doesn't matter if you're as spry as can be, she's 100 years old. And so people are obviously going, what is she doing behind the wheel? She's driving a 2007 Jeep Compass SUV. She's 100 years old.
Wow.
They said that she has not been cited, has a clean driving record. The young girl she hit, Milani, underwent two emergency brain surgeries. Doctors were unable to save her.
That's so sad.
Yeah, and I don't know what the message is here, and the people will twist it two ways. They'll go, one of the messages is, people that old shouldn't drive. Well, it depends. I mean, did she actually break a law? Did she do something wrong? That's a different conversation. I'll say with you, in general, people at 100 shouldn't be driving. Most people at 100 can barely walk. If you can't walk, you shouldn't be operating a car that weighs a couple of tons or whatever it weighs, because it's a deadly weapon when it comes down to it. But the other thing is, if it's just randomly walking across at these intersections that's doing this stuff, good God, man, pay attention. I'm telling you, we would have killed that girl with single lane and I in the car, and she had no clue what was going on.
I think sometimes she was probably homeless.
You think so? She had like a iPod with the headphones in or something.
Wait, you think the student was homeless?
Oh, no, not the 16-year-old. He's talking about the girl that we almost hit and killed, I believe.
Sometimes the people that give the least amount of Fs about just crossing the street are people that are go, well, you know, maybe if I get hit, I can get some money out of this or something like that, you know.
Watch on YouTube the Russian videos of the people trying to get insurance claims. And that's why everybody in Russia has a damn dash cam now, because so many people have done this insurance fraud. Mm-hmm. And you see people just trying to get hit by these cars. I don't know what exactly played out here, but the family of Melania Rivera, feel bad for them. That's a tough situation to be in. Here is Time Warp Al with the dispatch. Remember, he's a podcast listener who's probably way back in time, hence Time Warp Al. Let's see what he says.
Hey, guys. Just going to take you back to yesterday with the guy driving 100 miles an hour. I'm sure you've had enough of it. But if it was a newer car, could it have been one of those push button and then they won't let you shut them off while you're driving?
Oh, I didn't
think about that. It's kind of a thought.
See, that's
probably
why we have Time Warp Al.
Pretty probable. Anyhow, keep up the good work.
It was like a 2005 or something, early 2000s car. They've had that for a while now. It could have been that. I didn't think about that because not most cars, certainly my car doesn't, have an actual key where you turn it, twist it, and start it now. A lot of new cars have the push button thing. And if you don't have that, then how do you get into that area where the car key is not on, but on enough so you have power steering and power brakes? I wouldn't know. I mean, that's a whole different thing altogether, I guess.
Yeah, I'm just really hoping I'm never in that situation at this point.
They had released the dash cam footage this morning. Oh, man. It was crazy watching all that happen and what they had to go through to stop that car that was going down 95. The gas pedal got stuck on the BMW at 100 miles an hour, and they couldn't stop it. Here's Tater Boy.
What up, News Junkie and crew? Happy Valentine's Day. Sabrina, C-Lane, Sean, how is everybody?
Good.
Hey, man, just wanted to give a quick shout-out to the ladies on Valentine's Day. Thanks for all you do for us. Thanks for letting us get our fat, pudgy bodies naked and roll around on you. And we know you're disgusted with it, but you do it anyhow.
Yeah, all right.
Men, get your lady something nice today. Bring her some flowers, maybe a chain, a watch, something. Definitely take her out to dinner. Don't get cheap. If you got a woman who loves you, make sure you take care of her today, because they take care of you the rest of the year. Peace out.
Yeah, and pleasure her sexually.
Tater Boy, thank you for the dispatch. Let's go over to Travis, who's not quite as excited about Valentine's Day.
Morning, News Junkies. And man, I don't even have crap to dispatch about today other than the fact that I am just pissed off. I mean, I am just sick and tired of my other coworkers treating me like I am some young piece of crap that doesn't know anything. I may be a young guy on the crew, but I've been building pools now for 3 years. I know what the F I'm doing.
It's angry.
Bull crap that I have to deal with these morons. God, I wish someone would just frickin' take my advice for once and actually listen to me. But whatever. Who gives a crap? Screwed today. Screw Valentine's Day. And, well, keep up the show, guys. You always do a good job cheering me up. So thanks. With that, I'm out. We'll go pop, pop.
Peace. A little change of attitude at the end. These people are stupid. I hate them all. The pool people. All right, see you later, guys.
It's going to be okay, man.
It's just one day. It's just one day. You'll be all right. Here's ex-soldier.
Hey, Sean, Sabrina, C-Lane. I just wanted to bring up about yesterday. I'm listening to the podcast right now. Sean, you are correct. There is a hydraulic, so if you do not have power, it doesn't run your pump to even push the brake fluid through. So without that pump running, then you're going to have brakes, but it's going to be really, really hard to push them down. It kind of more or less assists. It's kind of like your power steering pump helps assist your turning. So without it, it's going to be really, really hard to push on your brakes.
All right.
So I got to bring that up. Ex-soldier out.
Thank you, ex-soldier. When we come back, a story about two people, one found in a car, naked, tied with nylon rope, and the other with an excuse of why everything worked out that way. Are you going to believe that excuse, though? That's the question we'll answer next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
If you ever need to talk, he'll pretend to listen. You're listening to the News Junkie.
That's an excuse. I don't know if it's a good one. There's so many stories like this. And it's always that moment where somebody comes up to you and catches you doing something bad. And then you go, and you spit out an excuse. And the fact is, if you're going to do something bad, if you're going to get yourself in trouble, at least take the time beforehand to come up with the excuse for why all this is happening. Because if you're in a really weird situation with no answer as to why, people aren't going to believe you. And this is a story along those lines. A man was sitting in a passenger seat completely naked, according to a criminal complaint. The only thing he was wearing was the nylon rope tied around him.
All right.
In the back seat of the car was George Gregory, a 61-year-old pastor at a church in West Homestead, Pennsylvania. When police walked up to the vehicle, they said they could see Gregory quickly rearranging his clothing. He's trying to get dressed as fast as he possibly can. The street was in a well-lit residential neighborhood in Homestead, which is why a neighbor had called police to report a suspicious vehicle parked outside his three-year-old daughter's window. It's 11 p.m. when this happens. The man got on the phone with emergency responders. His wife saw a man emerge from the vehicle entirely naked, so they're wandering around outside nude. And one guy's got nylon rope all around him, and he's completely naked, and the other guy is a local pastor at a church. The police arrived. They said, "We were just playing. We meet up from time to time." That's the pastor talking. The naked man confirmed to police that the interaction was consensual, the TV station reports, but both men are now facing charges of lewdness and indecent exposure. The pastor fighting back, "I have nothing to hide. I did nothing wrong. I was counseling a young man with a drug problem. It did turn strange, but it wasn't my doing, okay?"
Okay.
I don't know how it gets that far, but he's doubling down even. The guy's a pastor. He said, "I won't deny that he began to take his clothes off and proposition me." But he began to take his clothes off. He was naked except for a nylon rope.
Well, that's what Jesus wanted. Let yourself go. Get rid of the drugs by physically taking off your clothes, and I'm going to tie this God rope around you.
But I will deny, he said, on a stack of Bibles with God as my witness that I did nothing. This is happening a lot in these stories where they're not saying what you think they're saying. Like that sentence, another double negative. He said, "But I will deny on a stack of Bibles with God as my witness that I did nothing." So you'll deny that you did nothing. It's like he's got a loophole there.
Yeah.
A pastor loophole so he can explain banging it out with this naked guy in nylon ropes and running around the neighborhood. So many of these pastors that have the wildest of kinks, man. Just go with it. Just get away from all the religious stuff, the corner you backed yourself into. And this is not an uncommon thing. The most religious and fervent out there, the people who are the most aggressive against anybody who dares to challenge their religion or have another, really do tend to be hiding something underneath it. Not all of them, obviously, as is the case with everything in life, but there are a bunch, just like this pastor. Just be honest. You like naked dudes in nylon ropes, and that's fine if that's what you like.
Sounds like a Jimmy Buffett song.
It could be. Jimmy Buffett's changing his ways. Did you read that whole profile about him? I think you mentioned some of the stuff.
Yeah, that he's in New York, and he doesn't sip on margaritas, and he only vapes.
And he's got his Broadway play going, and he's like a whole different, like, he's Business Buffett, and I don't know if I like Business Buffett.
No, and I don't know if a lot of parrot heads like Business Buffett.
But I wonder if he'll be turned off by that.
I mean, it depends. Is he going to bring Business Buffett to the concerts? Because that'll change, you know. But if he says, "Hey, I'm going to go back to Margaritaville for the next 4 hours, then I'll take it.
If he walked up to the stage and had a whole suit on or something, the parrotheads would lose their mind.
I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy Buffett has never worn a suit in his life. But That being said, this whole diet thing is just for his health. You know, he's cutting back on the sugar. He said he still drinks tequila. He drinks like skinny margaritas, like tequila and water with some limes in it or something.
He's hanging out in Manhattan all the time. He's not. This is a guy who flies around his concerts when his fans are tailgating in one of those Launchpad McQuack planes. Once
again. Twice today. Twice.
One more time, and that's an episode title.
I haven't figured out the name of it in between the first segment and this one.
DuckTales?
No. The planes with the things where you land on the water. He flies one of those.
Seaplanes?
Yeah, a seaplane. That's what it is. Now, next time I mention that, I'll say seaplane. But he flies one of those around. Guy who's in Manhattan in a suit. Worried about IPOs and this and that. That's not Jimmy Buffett. That's not the guy who you see over and over on an incessant loop that makes you want to kill people if you work at Margaritaville and serve drinks or food there on a daily basis.
Volcano, yeah. Once an hour.
Oh, man.
But if he has been giving the joy of being a parrot head, searching for a lost shaker of salt for decades, then I think the least that, you know, we as parrot heads should give him, you know, the right to have a little bit of change in his life. He's doing something better for himself. I bet he's taking baby aspirin, too.
That guy is so rich. So rich right
he's
now.
He's stupid rich.
He's got all, you go into the Margaritaville gift shop, and they found a way to put the Margaritaville logo on everything you can put it on. And pretty impressive stuff, too. Mm-hmm. Like margarita makers and this and that, all kinds of crazy stuff. He is loaded. Let's go to G-Funk with a dispatch.
Billy Burrito makes the Appliance Direct guy sound like Lester Holt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Has he done another video, Mr. Billy Burrito?
I don't think so. That would be against his better judgment, but his judgment isn't that great. No. So.
He was talking about his follow-up video yesterday, though.
Yeah, the Appliance Direct guy, though, is actually Asian.
Mm-hmm. And you paid too much.
You know, so it's...
You can play up your own stereotypes, or you could just be yourself, which may be what he's doing. But the Billy Burrito guy, he just didn't understand what he was getting into. Here's Nurse Jan.
It's Valentine's Day, so raise a glass. Wait, I'm single, bitches. Kiss my ass. Still not bitter.
Yeah, you're still upset. I can tell. Yesterday was a very, very sad dispatch. And then now today... The poem and then the fighting back. And
there's no reason to be sad today, everybody. I was looking at my time hop about 2-3 years ago. I spent my Valentine's Day on my porch drinking beer and decided to vine it.
Yeah.
And I realized that probably wasn't as funny as it was sad at that time. And I think that though it's in your face that you have to have somebody you're not happy today, go masturbate at home. And then afterwards... You know, send a text to yourself saying, hey, you were really great. Thank you. I love right. you.
Give yourself some compliments. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's go to Ken. Go ahead, Ken.
Hello?
Hey, Ken, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just had a quick comment about the pedestrian thing. You know, you brought up last week, I think the local police had, you know, the crackdown on drivers not giving the right-of-way or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was just curious, when are they going to start cracking down on pedestrians who don't use the crosswalks?
Well, you think they should...
Their whole lives are risk.
You think more people should be ticketed for jaywalking?
Yes, sir, I do. I mean, if they're going to do that and they're going to crack down on drivers, why not crack down on the people who aren't using the crosswalk?
They still do that every now and then. Yeah. If you walk around downtown once every couple of months, they do that right by the Morgan & Morgan building, and there's a police officer there with a pad of paper, a pen, and the biggest frown I've ever seen in my life, because even he knows how stupid and how big of a waste of time it is to be out there giving away tickets for jaywalking. No, that's not it. How about just maybe some sort of reinforcement throughout the educational system of this stuff? Because maybe that's where the ball is being dropped. How about parents taking their children and once again teaching them the simple things that were baked into a lot of other people as kids? I knew it. Look both ways. And if I screwed it up, it was my fault because that was burned into my damn brain as a child. All those little messages and lessons. And now sometimes you think, well, the kid will pick up something from TV. They'll learn something from Nickelodeon. They'll learn about not crossing the road. Well, Nickelodeon, nobody ever gets hit by a car when they're crossing the road, as far as I know.
No, it hasn't been a thing. But if they do, then, you know, it would be hilarious instead of what would really happen in real life where you would see a dismembered body in the middle of the road.
Yeah, there would not be like a, you know, the banana peel falling sound doesn't happen when you get plowed by a 100-year-old lady in a Jeep Liberty. You just actually get plowed. In the Olympics last night, Japan's Yuto Tatsuka. I felt bad about this. This
poor Tatsuka.
16-year-old snowboarding prodigy was kicking ass, and he's doing all the right tricks. I don't know the names of any of them because I'm snowboarding.
Triple.
Doing a triple and a double, perhaps even a quadruple on the way down. After landing hard on the edge of the half pipe, he fell, and I didn't realize this, but when you think about this, when they jump off that snow half pipe, so the guy's up in the air, he's about 10 feet up, and then he smashes his body down because he misses the landing, and then from there he falls down into the inside of the half pipe, which is another 20 feet.
Oh.
So that's a lot of falling and hitting yourself. And this guy took a hit. You can even hear, I think I have some of the clip here, where you can hear the commentators going, ah.
Oh, oh, my goodness.
Not good. He's moving a little bit.
To the sixth.
They had to get a stretcher out there. And the paramedics said that he was going to be okay, but damn, man.
Get a medal. Huh?
No. That was the end of that run at the very least, if not his entire journey at the Olympics. But he's young. He's got more opportunities, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. Back with the next episode with Sabrina in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
At Real Radio 104.1 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
The biggest stories of the day in all their glory and insanity. You're listening to the News Junkie.
Episode with Sabrina in just a moment. And in the meantime, another story of a school where all these kids got sick again. I don't know what it is, but I mean, it sounds again like one of these gummy bear things, because 10 middle school students in San Francisco rushed to the hospitals this week, and they're worried about what they ingested, an illicit substance. So it could be a lot of different things. Some kind of weed candy is what I'm guessing is the most likely possibility. This keeps happening over and over and over again. And the kids know what they're getting into. Don't kid yourself with that. Like, when you read these stories, don't think that they thought, well, we're just going to have some delicious gummy bears. No, they were trying to get high at school and got way too high. And more kids try it every single day than we'll ever know about. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, and you can't possibly keep up with all of it. Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about? Nothing.
Weather's nice.
It's time for the next episode with Sabrina.
Hey.
Are you ready for the next episode?
Yes.
43 years ago, the year 1975, I never knew this was an issue. I may be teaching you guys a little early today. I learned a judge ruled that the theme song for this right here.
Mickey Mouse Club.
Okay, Mickey Mouse Club is right. A judge ruled in 1975 that the theme song to the Mickey Mouse Club could not be used as the background music to an orgy scene in the life and times of Xavier L. Hollander.
Okay, who's that?
I have no idea. I take it was a movie. There was an orgy scene there, and it went as far as the court system to decide whether the Mickey Mouse Club could be the theme song for it.
All right.
So those of you inspired out there, if you have an orgy, know that the Mickey Mouse Club may be the theme you're looking for. Also, 26 years ago, Wayne's World opened in theaters. We're not worthy. But maybe we are now 26 years later.
I love that movie.
Here's the quote of the day. Cha-Cha is looking for a Valentine. And Cha-Cha is this gal's dog.
Mariah Carey
is correct. She is posting a personal ad for her dog. You get one holiday, Mariah. Just one. That's right. After being on and off again with her dancer boyfriend, Brian Tanaka, for a number of months, Mariah Carey appears to be partnered up for Valentine's Day.
Oh, she's found somebody.
She found somebody. She was spotted at dinner in Malibu somewhere. But, you know, once you find love yourself, you want to help others. So she posted on Twitter, in search for a Valentine's Day date for her pet, Jack Russell, Cha-Cha.
Oh, those are smart dogs.
Absolutely. Now, a number of the Carey fans sent pictures of their dogs. However, the peasant dogs are not going to fit for a dog who's owned by a woman who has insurance on her legs and vocal cords for $93 million.
Wait, do celebrity dogs only date other celebrity dogs?
I think that's how it should be, at the very least. I mean, it must be very hard for non-celebrity dogs to be introduced to that world, you know? At least celeb dogs know what it's like, so...
The pampered life.
Here's some available options for Cha-Cha the Jack Russell. Bo, owned by the Obamas, is a Portuguese water dog and loves walks on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Finn, owned by Amanda Seyfried, Australian Shepherd, you know those are loyal. Or Pippa, the dog owned by Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, French Bulldog, so you know there's a lot of slobbering.
French Bulldog and a Jack Russell, if that happened, that would be an interesting outcome.
I think that might be an ugly outcome.
But weird looking.
Not best in show. It keeps on coming. She's giving him the slip, and it's making brand consultants nervous. I'm talking about Susan Sarandon's daughter and noted mommy blogger Eva Emery. She posted to her blog about her plans for her husband, and that plan include giving him a KY Jelly gift set for the big holiday. Now, her husband is NBC sports broadcaster Kyle Martino, because we love sports and we know the broadcasters. Now, the post set in motion a flurry of early morning communication among the spooked. The industry insiders were saying that her brands that advertise on the blog almost passed out.
Wait, because she said that she was getting her husband lube for
exactly.
Valentine's Day? Why would they be upset about that?
They were like, she said what? Texts were going around. Colleagues were saying they were worried about the clients were going to have a fit. I guess her site's very kid-friendly. It's odd to do that, but at the same time, the kids probably would not have been without lubricant. Now, in her long post, she muses, I can't wait to try out the lube set. TMI, maybe, sorry. I mean, we do have two kids, people.
They can't say the website is kid-friendly. It's a mommy blog. It's for people who have kids. Like, the website might be PG or something, but that wouldn't even have got you a PG-13 rating.
Seriously,
I don't
think. It's not like butt plugs or anything. It's lubricant.
It's a level under.
Eventually, everybody may or may not need it if you're not doing it right. As we move on, the Olympics crowd, when they're not watching the winter sports, they apparently are making their way over to Sinam, South Korea. Are you familiar with this area?
I've seen these photos before, but I just saw C-Lane looking at these photographs.
Of the...
gigantic penises.
That's right. The Olympics crowd gets a rise from the penis park. Even the bright red lighthouse in the tiny South Korean port of Sinam is shaped like a penis. Everything. Now, the port is home to Haesingdang Park, better known as Penis Park, a monument to fertility, born from a legend about a virgin and a fish. And thus, the old phrase about smelling like fish.
Did somebody
where it came from?
Just start this? Somebody just started making giant penis stuff?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you the legend, but first I want to tell you about the park itself. It is drawing a number of curious crowds of visitors nearby the Winter Olympics. There are penis totem poles, penis benches, penis wind chimes, even a penis-shaped cannon, as a warning to tourists that should not be mounted, by the way. Now, it's been all over the world, and people have... I've heard about Penis Park before, but now that the Olympians are making their way over there, we get pictures. Now, the legend behind the park has been painstakingly chiseled into a row of stone penises. It tells of a virgin who died in a storm as her boyfriend collected seaweed from a rock in a nearby cove.
All right.
According to one version of the legend, the village was unable to catch fish after she died until one fisherman urinated into the sea. The fisherman later erected a shrine and a phallus on the cliffs of the village to satisfy the virgin spirit.
This is a weird place.
That's not exactly how I read the legend.
Oh,
is there a non-pea fishing legend?
Now, that was just one version, so... By all means.
She died a virgin, which then meant no fish could be caught by villagers. There really only had one word off.
Oh, the semen.
Till the fisherman ejaculated into the sea.
Okay.
That's a big difference.
Is that where the word semen it came from? Or is that
I don't think
separate
so,
but... entirely? I'm learning
you
a lot.
You know what? I'm learning too, and I've also been inspired for our next promo photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be doing it at Penis Park.
All right.
Police arrested a guy who traveled all the way from Milwaukee to Los Angeles to be with his one true love, this gal.
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus is correct. And it's a good thing that police arrested the guy because he had some crazy things on Facebook that he made known to the public before he made the trip. Things like, I got your address like you insisted. I know which way to enter, and thank you for getting rid of Liam.
This guy sounds just like old Mike Hunt from Orlando.
That's right. Michael Hunt, Lana Del Rey stalker. Now, I also said, for those of you who are not Freemasons, you will never understand. This is how we fall in love. I don't need medication. All there on one post.
A lot of people who put that definitely do need medication.
He talked about having to complete the most horrific act in order to create a new world. So, of course, they got the red flag, and someone in Milwaukee reported the stuff to local police who called the LAPD, and the man is now being held for psychological evaluation, and she can continue partying in the USA.
Good.
Now, people that are not partying is Bill Paxton's family. This is an F9 tornado right inside the courtroom, and the game is not over, man. When Bill Paxton died last year at the age of 61, everyone was shocked, including those members of Camp Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
Is myself, Christopher, six others. We raised that flag, which we just so happened to purchase right after he passed away.
The timing there was very close. Did you guys know when you were going to Okeechobee Music Festival and you got the Bill Paxton flag that he was dead already?
When we took to Facebook to ask somebody to give us the Bill Paxton flag, the next day he was pronounced dead.
Oh, man.
So it's like,
that's
we
weird.
Probably put that bad energy out there.
A juju.
We were just looking for a flagston. We got the flagston, but now his family wants some money. When Bill Paxton died at the age of 61, everyone, of course, was shocked. He was in for surgery a year ago today to replace a valve and correct an aortic aneurysm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, complications arose. He died of a stroke 11 days later. Now his family is suing his surgeon and the hospital for wrongful death. They say the doctor provided Bill with a, quote, negligent diagnosis, management, and treatment. They also claim the hospital failed to disclose the fact that the doctor was going to use a high-risk and unconventional surgical approach within he lacked experience. Now, I can tell you from Grey's Anatomy experience, it's those surgeries that change lives and save lives. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, the experimenting goes wrong.
No, in this case, not so good.
And it took away a hero. So I will keep you all posted on the Bill Paxton Showdown of 2018. In 2015, a couple bought the mansion that was featured in the very first season of this show, right here.
Mansion. The Bachelor.
Incorrect.
Good guess, though. That is a good guess.
This is
scary.
This is the theme of The Bachelor. I got it.
It's a scary movie.
It is scary. What define, you know, give me another word for scary.
What's that one with, like, the hidden camera style?
That's not it. That's not it.
No.
Another word.
Haunted Mansion?
Nope.
Fright.
USA Terror.
Oh! I don't know.
American Horror Story is right.
I would never gotten there.
In 2015, a couple bought the mansion that was featured in the first season, which is the so-called murder house. The couple says that it's been a nightmare, and not because it's actually haunted. They're suing the realtors because they apparently neglected to mention that the house is somewhat of a tourist attraction.
You got to do the research on that beforehand. It's called the murder house.
Exactly. Or, you know, you buy it because you're investing in this tourist attraction and paying, you know, making
sell
people pay
something.
And stuff. So one group sat in the scoop of a garbage truck to be lifted high enough to see the home once. And they say that people are always trespassing on the property. Now, they bought the house for $3.2 million, and they don't want to sell it. They're seeking punitive and compensatory damages from the realtors and former owners. The house was only used for the exterior shots of the show, and I guess that was enough for fans to mosey on over and take pictures with it.
That's not the worst one, though. Everybody's probably in agreement, I think. The worst situation for that is that Breaking Bad house.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy, the crowds that get out there.
Yeah. The crowds, but on top of it, it's crowds with pizzas.
Yeah.
That throw the pizza on the roof to mimic the show itself. Yeah. So definitely, I'm with the Breaking Bad folks. I've never had this before. I didn't even have a robot to help me out, but there's a reboot of a reboot, reboot, reboot. It's happening again, making its way to theaters.
No, they're not.
Swear, Willy Wonka is making its way back.
Tread lightly.
Yeah, you already screwed this up once.
What do you mean?
Not you. The idea that they're remaking this again and leave one Willy Wonka for us. The one we have is fine. That Johnny Depp thing was a goddamn travesty.
Now, riddle me this. What if Paul King, the director of Paddington movies, is the person that is set to adapt Willy Wonka from the actual book? I mean, Paddington 2 is one of the five films on Rotten Tomatoes that has 100%. Obviously, he does something right. Does this mean Willy Wonka is going to be furry and without pants? I do not know. Now, he's in the final negotiations to direct Willy Wonka, a reimagining of a reimagining of a reimagining of Roald Dahl's classic children's book, which is being developed by Warner Brothers. Now, I guess he's getting back with a lot of the producers of the Paddington movies, and Simon Rich has wrote the new script, which is very much under wraps. Much like a candy wrap.
Why wouldn't they just spin it in a new direction? Like, go Veruca
like
Salt.
Like a female Willy Wonka, right?
Veruca Salt after all this happened. Like, go down the road a little bit and follow one of the characters that was made famous in this.
Trying to Hook.
Another
Hook
direction.
Was so good.
But when you go the same way with these beloved characters, it's not going to work out for you.
Okay, here's an idea for you. And if, what's his name? Paul King is listening right now. Instead of a reboot, why don't we do a sequel to it? So picture this. It's an uprising of the Oompa Loompas. Also, I didn't find my epic movie trailer bed, so I'm going to have to do it PSA style.
All right.
The Oompa Loompas are tired of doing all Willy Wonka's work and not getting paid enough. You think, you know, having a roof over your head and being fed is all you need? No, it's 2020, for God's sake.
So they're rising up?
They're rising up. So it's Willy Wonka is trapped in the chocolate factory, and now Charlie, who has an alcohol problem, has to go back and save him, and then the rest you'll see in theaters.
That'd be a better idea than trying to redo the classic, I think.
I completely agree. Speaking of redo, I'll leave you off with this. Somebody once told me that we are occupying the darkest timeline, and here's more proof. They're back.
Somebody.
Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth is right. They're back and collaborating with something called Car Seat Headrest.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it either. But
oh, it's a band, isn't it?
Yeah, the indie rock cult hero Car Seat Headrest. They're reading the year's strangest collaboration by far. News comes via Smash Mouth's Twitter account and U.S. Radio station. This one right here, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
After the group shared a picture of Car Seat Headrest, Will Toledo and Smash Mouth guitarist, songwriter Greg Camp altogether. No word on exactly what the collaboration will entail, but all will be revealed this week.
Ooh.
So keep you updated, or we're in for like a really bad treat. On the Boob Tube, we have the Olympics coverage, of course, Relationships Just for Laughs on the CW, the top 14 greatest Valentine's Day movies of all time. I feel like crying a little bit. And then, of course, you can catch Charles Barkley and Monica on Kimmel. Happy Valentine's Day, Chodes. And remember,
smoke weed every day.
Exhibit a live trivia when we come back. 407-916-1041. Toll free 1-888-978-1041. Two callers. You'll be head to head. We got seven questions for you. And guess what? These are questions about the show yesterday. So if you've been paying attention, you're good to go. There's also, I think, some Valentine's stuff pulled into
correct.
The mix as well. So a combination of the two, if you're interested, let's do this. Or is it all Valentine's Day?
It's half and half. Every other one is Valentine's Day.
All right, so you got at least a half and half shot, even if you didn't hear the show yesterday. 407-916-1041, toll-free 1-888-978-1041. The rest of you, fire up the app. Let's do this thing. Live trivia up next with the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The kind of crew who types the word functioning in bold, italic, and underlined. This is the News Junkie.
Live trivia in just a moment. Those of you who are looking for something besides Pornhub's offer to do on Valentine's Day, whether you are single or whether you are part of a couple, today is the day. Chris Rock's first stand-up special in a decade drops today on Netflix. It's called Tambourine. This is part of that huge deal he has with Netflix, and the first time we've seen him in a big on-screen performance in over 10 years. So maybe check that out at the end of the night after you're done with the Valentine's Day stuff and maybe right before the lovemaking. Whatever your schedule is fine. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. You can play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
That's live trivia for a Wednesday, February 14th. That's Valentine's Day, 2018. Nothing else is different, though. Live trivia brought to you by Nations Trucks and NationsTrucks.com. Here is what we'll do. Two callers head-to-head to battle it out for a prize. You're already playing along in the News Junkie app. You know how to do this. Just score fast, answer fast, get the points, do whatever you do over there. Well, we get our players, and we'll go to, let's see, Scott the Tortoise Guy. Are you there?
I am here.
All right, Scott the... Do you actually have a tortoise, Scott?
Well, actually, what I do is I dig up tortoises and remove them from future development.
So they don't get killed, so you're a tortoise murderer.
No, he gets them. He relocates them. That's expensive, isn't it, Scott?
It can be for the developer.
Man, let's go over here. Dr. Love, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Dr. Love and Scott the Tortoise Guy, those are our players on live trivia today. Best of luck to both of you. Question number one has arrived. Yesterday was Fat Tuesday, but for many in the Detroit area, it was also an unofficial holiday known as this. Is it Pierogi Day, Don't Eat the Baby Day, Ish the Pole Day, or Punchki Day? Which one's right, Scott?
Oh, man. I think it's one.
All right, you think Pierogi Day? Dr. Love, go ahead.
Pierogi Day.
Pierogi Day sounds delicious. I love those damn things. We'll see who's right. Question number two. Some people used to believe that if a woman saw a robin flying overhead on Valentine's Day, it meant she would marry which of the following? It meant she would marry a sailor, a millionaire, a closeted gay man, or a blacksmith. Dr. Love, you should know. What is it?
A sailor.
You say a sailor? Scott, what do you say?
The same.
Number three, a restaurant owner in Idaho is under fire for a Facebook promotional video in which he dressed as a stereotypical Mexican man named what? Was he Obi-Wan Kenobi's, Frankie Flautas, Billy Burrito, or Juan Big Mistake? Scott the Tortoise Guy.
He was Billy the Burrito.
All right, Dr. Love.
Burrito.
Number four, according to the Smell and Taste Treatment and Research Foundation in Chicago, what arouses men more than any other scent in the world? Is it lavender, lilies, wood smoke, or beer? Dr. Love.
Lavender.
Scott.
Ooh, I'm going to go with lavender also.
Number five, a British couple caught a flight to Belfast, Northern Ireland, before they realized the concert they got tickets for was not, in fact, their favorite band, but a bagpipe cover band called what? Was it the White Pipes, the Red Hot Chili Pipers, Kilts of Leon, or the Smushing Pipekins? Scott the Tortoise Guy.
Red Hot Chili Pipers.
Dr. Love.
I'll go with the same.
The final two, number six, the preferred choice of flower arrangements for many on Valentine's Day is one single perfect rose framed with baby's breath. What do some florists refer to this as? A signature rose? Cupid's petals? A sigil rosette, or a pick a de first rose. Pick a de first rose. Go ahead, Dr. Love.
The first one.
There's no accent, Mark. I don't know why I said rose. Scott the Tortoise Guy.
I was going to pick the first one also.
And we'll go to number seven. Yesterday, we learned that a National Lampoon cover featured a dog with a gun to its head, and it said, if you don't buy this, we're going to kill the dog. Somebody killed the dog. It was 3 years later. What was the dog's name? Chiefs, Cheeseface, the Lamb Pooch, Baloney Head, more Michael Lorns. And it's your turn, Scott.
Cheeseface.
Dr. Love.
Cheeseface.
Well, see how they did. It seems like they knew what they were talking about. They seemed confident throughout the whole thing. But who was the winner? Scott? Dr. Love? That's when we figure this out, because we have to go through these and score things up. You ready, Sabrina?
Oh, yeah.
Fat Tuesday was yesterday, but in Detroit, what do they call it?
Scotty Turtle and Dr. Love both said pierogi day, and that answer was incorrect. It was actually, how do you say it?
Punchki day.
Punchki day.
Which is nothing like what it looks like. It's P-A-C-K-S, or P-A-C-S-K-I.
I was saying Paxki day.
That's what it absolutely looks like. But pierogi day sounds damn delicious, and I'd like to have one of those.
Yeah.
If possible. Number
Look
two.
Look at that, Polish people.
Let's do this. Number two, a robin flying over your head on Valentine's Day means you're going to marry one of these.
Both the players said a sailor, and aye, aye, captain. That was right.
Number three, a restaurant owner is under fire for being a stereotypical Mexican character. Name this.
Scotty Turtle and Dr. Love both said Billy Burrito, and aye, that answer was right.
Number four, the Smell and Taste Treatment and Research Foundation in Chicago, which I'm still blown away that that's a thing. The Smell and Taste Treatment and Research Foundation. They say this is what makes men more aroused than anything else.
Dr. Love and Scotty Turtle both said lavender, and boing, that was right.
I should have said this scent, because there are certainly things that make men more aroused than the scent of lavender, but when you narrow it down, lavender's right. Number five, a British couple thought they were going to see their favorite band, not this band.
Both the players said the Red Hot Chili Pipers, and I'm going to give it away now. Points, that is.
Number six, a rose with a little bit of baby's breath around them. That's what a lot of people get for Valentine's Day. What do they call that?
Dr. Love and Scotty Turtle both said a signature rose, and that answer was beautiful.
Look at him go. Number seven, the final question. National Lampoon, the dog that they put on their cover, what was his name?
Scotty and Dr. Love both said Cheeseface, and that answer was right. And now we have a tie.
Oh, let's get them back up. Dr. Love, Scott the Tortoise Guy, they're back with you and ready for your tiebreaker, Sabrina.
Dr. Love, you will go first, my friend. In which year was the word homosexual first used?
Let's say 1951.
Scotty Turtle.
1930.
Correct answer. Was 1869, making Scotty Turtle the winner. Live trivia.
All right, there you go, Scott the Tortoise Guy. I knew it had to be before the 1950s. A little bit before that.
1992.
Scott the Tortoise Guy, congratulations, you're the winner. C-Lane, what do we have for prizes?
I have a 4-pack of tickets to see Def Legend, the Def Leppard tribute band, going to the House of Blues on Saturday, March 17th. Those tickets are on sale now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more info. I also have a pair of tickets to Wassey's cooking class. That's Kevin Ward's Southern Roots on February 21st. 24th.
21st. 20-girth.
It'll be on the 24th of February.
24th of February. With a little wheat market. Wassey's Meat Market in Melbourne. You can come join Kevin Ward for an evening of grilled and smoked dishes inspired by his Southern Roots. Dishes like meatloaf fatty, crispy porchetta, shrimp and pimento cheese grits, and biscuits and brisket gravy.
All of that sounds good, and I'm in. Let's take a look at the scoreboard.
At the top spot with 1725, Funky Fresh 525 with the leads, followed by Smelly Primate, the Dita, Fancy Nancy, Took My Shepherd to Love You, But the Love You Was Bright, Renee, Nate, Laserblade, My Name is Chip, Please Keep Me Anonymous, and holding strong at that 10 spot, Mr. Steezy.
There we go. Where should we look? Where should we peek out here?
At 35,
okay.
Dr. Love's Cupcake, followed by DeSherman, Anjawa, Aaron, Jerisus, and H.M. Brooks at 40.
All right. Thank you all for playing along. We do appreciate it. And you, too, can take part. All you have to do is download the app, search for The News Junkie in the App Store, and we'll do it again tomorrow when we do a live trivia. You can win great prizes. It's fun. Why not do it? And there's big upgrades coming to live trivia very soon for all you folks who continue to play along out there. We appreciate the support. We're also trying to figure out how to fly to the damn Bahamas. without having President Trump get in the way, because I guess his flight and our flight running against each other.
It's ruining everything.
Because we're on a private plane, which sounds so much more impressive until you get on the private plane. It's a little tiny, small private plane.
Right, but I am still going to wear a robe, so I'll feel like a rich person, right?
You just dress it up on your end and pretend like it's a G5 that we're in. Nobody's going to know the difference in the photographs. Your photo. You just do what Lil Bow Wow did. It's easier that way. When we come back, many people saying that they are from the future. Yes, this is true. There are people saying that they are time travelers from the future. So let's analyze and see if any of these phonies is actually telling the truth, because it could be a huge breakthrough in science and history. Details on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Confirming all reports
and some of your biggest fears.
You're listening to the News Junkie, Sean Wasich.
The future. What does it look like? What's it all about? How are things going in the future? And oddly enough, this week in the news, well, not any reputable news, but in the news in general, there was not one but two stories that surfaced about people who say they are time travelers and they're willing to prove it. Now, I think most of us scoff at that. We dismiss that. We say there's no way that this is a possibility. And maybe we do that at our own peril. Maybe right in front of us is somebody who genuinely traveled through time and came back with a message for us. They never seem to have a very important message, but maybe we're just not listening to the folks who truly have been through it all and back in time. Now, I've got two different people who say they're from the future, Sabrina.
Okay.
One of them is a time traveler who says he's from 2030, which is, you know, not too far off, 12 years. The other one says he's from 2118.
Wow.
Which, man, 100 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's so much stuff. Think about 1918 and then 2018. Big difference.
Absolutely. There's no iPhones.
If you went back to 1918 right now, you could blow some minds. You could go in there and go, hey, listen to this. This is what's happening here. If you brought like just one thing with you, like an iPhone, people would faint.
Mm-hmm.
They'd pass out. It'd be bad.
100%.
So let's see what happens here. And let's see if any of these guys who claim to be time travelers are indeed telling the truth. And we have this up on CNN now.
Yep.
CNN? You can see both of these people, because I want you to visually inspect, analyze them to see if they're being truthful.
Now, do they know each other?
Mm-mm, no.
Time travelers typically like meet up, you know, somewhere or see each other when they're crossing paths into different years?
I don't know if they do, if there's areas where they kind of hang out in between jumps in time. But these two say they don't know each other.
Hey, Brad, where are you headed? Oh, well, I'm going to 2118. That's cool.
Or if he gets stuck in a year. But there's one video right now where this outlet that I've never heard of, Apex TV. And Apex TV, see, like, can you pull up the homepage of their website? Is it all like UFO sighting? Guy from the future arrives here in current time. Is it all a bunch of zany weekly World of the News stuff?
Yeah, they don't. Well, there's Apex TV Studios on Twitter, and then there's Apex TV on YouTube. One of the biggest voices of paranormal on YouTube, having been featured on Japanese TV shows with over 56 million views and 100,000 subscribers.
And they just happened to stumble upon this guy who's a time traveler. Here he is. He says he's from 2030. Let's not scoff and dismiss him just yet. Let's see if he has any information or anything to tell us.
Hello to everybody who's watching me right now. I want to be clear while making this video. It is not my intent to deceive anybody. My sole objective is to prove to you that time travel exists in the next few years.
I would stop right there. Because if you were a time traveler and you wanted to tell us all about it, why are you disguising your voice?
Because not everyone can travel, Sean. Maybe he is the only one allowed. Maybe there's only room for one person in the time traveling pod.
If I was time traveling back to 2018 from some other spot in the future, I would go right on the Today Show or something And they'd probably think I was a crackpot, wouldn't they? Yeah, if I came back and said I'm a time traveler, I don't know if they'd give me the time of day.
Wendy Williams may have you on.
I wouldn't anonymize my voice, and I wouldn't blur out my face. So that's the first key that this guy might be a phony.
In fact, I, myself, am a time traveler. I have traveled back to November 13th, 2017, from early in the year 2021. First of all of time travel will become possible in the year 2003. It is, however, only used by top secret organizations. The ability to time travel is not planned to be released to the public 2003? Until 2020.
Yeah, I think he might have screwed up there. Unless he's saying we already have this, but nobody's going to tell us about it yet. Maybe not.
Sorry, just give me a minute.
Oh, you okay, buddy?
My natural year is 2021. This is the time period in which I spend most of my life.
Is he crying?
The time period that I belong.
He just sounds very upset, this guy.
Is he about to give us some bad news about the future?
That's the thing. Give us the information. Tell us what's happening. Mostly they just beat around the bush.
But I've been fired. I can't get back to my time.
Oh, buddy. You all right?
I'm stuck here.
He's stuck. What a time to be stuck in. All right, so what's going on? What does he know about the future? Let's see.
Nothing.
I would like to give you specific facts about the future that will prove to you time travel exists.
I'm ready for
including
it.
Who the president of the United States is in 2021. In just 4 years, you will see that my predictions are true. Then you'll come back to this video and know that time travel really does exist. In 2028, the private organizations will admit to the world that time travel is real, and it'll be open to the public. Now I'll tell you the reality of our future. For one, electric cars and self-driving cars will be dramatically improved.
Wow, what a brave call. What a brave future prediction. It's like saying, in the future, people will use more technology.
Technology will be better in the future, Sean.
No.
TVs will be flatter.
Hard drives will be smaller.
No, I can't. I'm not buying it.
The cloud will be cloudier.
Wow. This is mind-blowing. This is the information he's come back to 2018 to tell us all about.
A consumer electric car will be able to drive over 600 miles on a single charge in 2021. Many people are spending a lot of their time in virtual reality. I would highly recommend investing your time and money in sustainable energy, virtual reality, and artificial intelligence. AI will also be a huge and growing market in 2021.
Yeah, they got another brave prediction. Artificial intelligence will be huge in the future.
I'm pretty sure Microsoft just made a commercial that says that exact same thing.
Everybody who is even the most lightweight futurologist knows these obvious things. Give us the juice, man. Go. What you got to do is think about the one craziest thing that happened. Like, if I went back to 2008, all right, from 2018, if I went back to 2008, I'd go, I have to make a prediction that once it happens, you guys are definitely going to believe me that I'm from the future, because no way can anybody predict this. So I'd go, Donald Trump is going to be president of the United States. And then you'd say, like, a porn star will accuse him of this, this. You throw out a couple of things like that, and people are going to go, no way could he have ever known this unless he was really from the future. This is not good gossip from the future.
In the movies, when you're trying to immediately get somebody on your side immediately, you got to predict something that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there a basketball game on? Here's how it ends.
Yeah. Yeah, if you did that in real time, that's big.
That's what... That's what they did in Back to the Future.
Yeah, but what if you are not a sports person, you know, now or in 2023?
You just go with the big stuff. If you're sitting down there at the Super Bowl, you go, just so you guys know, the Eagles win this. Tom Brady gets upset and tells his kids that you got to let other people win sometimes.
Just so you know, right before the Super Bowl, Tom Brady and his son shared a two Mississippi kiss in the mouth.
Those little things?
How do you predict that?
That's going to add up, and then people are going to go, I think he's onto something.
Wearable technology is also becoming increasingly popular in 2021. There will also become a very popular device, sort of like a Google Glass, that will look like a normal pair of glasses, but have a processing power of today's desktop computers.
Come on, man.
It will be equipped with a high-definition video camera and augmented reality screen. Now I'm going to tell you the winner of the 2020 presidential election in America.
All right. Who is it?
I promise that the president of the United States after 2020 election will be Donald J. Trump. I can say this with 100% certainty.
Who will he be?
I know many of you will not believe
yeah,
me.
Yeah, why not say
I'm
that?
I'm simply telling you the truth. I'm not giving my opinion on Donald Trump, but rather giving you the real raw facts.
This guy's not legit. You're a phony. This guy's a phony time traveler, and I'm not buying it.
How dare you?
I don't buy it.
Go ahead, ask me anything.
All right, you were so vague in the video. Why wouldn't you tell us who President Trump beats in his reelection campaign? Who's he defeat?
I'll give you that information, but I'm telling you right now, I couldn't give it in my video because people will come after me. You don't think there's time-traveling police?
I didn't know. I haven't heard about those.
I'll tell you, in the future, you're going to have to continue being woke.
All right.
I'm warning you now. Donald J. Trump is going to go up against Terry Crews.
Terry Crews ends up running for office.
Yes, yes.
And Trump wins in 2020.
By a landslide of Axe body spray.
All right, well, if that happens, it's going to be definitely something that is unexpected. What Absolutely. Other things can you tell me are going to happen before 2020? So I'll know you're telling the truth.
You will, there are going to be devices. Listen to this.
All right.
There are going to be devices you could put in your ear and talk to people without a wire being between your earpiece and your cell phone.
They already have that. It's like earpods. It's a Bluetooth.
Yeah, Bluetooth.
Earpieces.
Okay.
You're from the future. Tell me something that I'm not aware of now, technology-wise. What's going to happen?
Okay, well, I wasn't going to... There's going to be a ninth installment of the Harry Potter series.
Oh, yeah. Anybody could say that.
There's going to be automated driving cars.
They already have that now!
Okay, get this. Get this. The technology, I don't know, I can't tell you guys. It's going to be too much. It's going to be too much.
I think we can handle it. C-Lane and I both like technology. We're into gadgets and stuff.
Okay. The lights in your house in 2037 will be... Clap on and clap
off. We've had that for decades.
It literally was in the movie Wayne's World.
Did I mention Trump's going to be president again?
Yeah, I don't know if I buy you.
I am from the future.
You're a pretty terrible time traveler.
Well, I'm going back and I'm telling all the future people, you guys are dicks.
Get some juice.
You get juice. In the future, they're going to make juice out of pierogies.
Really?
Yeah.
No, not like juice to drink. Get some juice. Like, we want the stuff, the goods.
That's pretty juicy.
Yeah. I wouldn't have expected pierogi juice. If that does take off as a trend, I may be a buyer here.
Until then, I must go back to the future.
See you later.
I wish you guys luck, and I will see you in about 5 years.
All right. See you later. There's another person who claims to be for
is
the future.
Seinfeld coming back in the future?
that was a clue on the way out. I mean, that's going to be mind-blowing. And actually, I think I might have seen a news story suggesting that today.
You said something to Ellen about it.
In 2118, that's where this guy says he's from.
I do have something to show you today.
Yeah? What do you got? Oh, he's pulling out a picture. In the future, in 2118, they still have pictures, like actual photographs.
This picture.
Whoa.
It's taken in the year 2118.
Why no. Why is he talking like that?
Because he's from the future. That's future voice.
Ugh.
It's a photo.
This picture was the city I walked in.
This picture.
I don't believe this guy either.
I'll never forget when I took that picture. It was right outside the city before I had walked into it. I chose to wait until now to reveal that picture to
you. Little Jodie Foster in there.
Don't even dare.
Because I didn't know if the world was ready to see it.
Okay, I don't believe this guy either. He says he's hopping around in time from 81 to 2118, taking pictures, going back. And I think all of these people might just be completely full of it. Back in a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
It's just like being in a studio with us, almost.
What's the problem? It's like you've never been in a tight space with someone whipping
through. Facebook.com/RealRadio1041. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting SeacoastBank.com. Better. Radio. 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 1041. We'd tell you to check out the app chat room, but those people are weird and mostly naked.
This is the News Junkie.
Because I'm a mess sometimes, but so I could always be
especially when you've been needing tips at thenewsjunkie.com. And Pat emails. We were talking earlier about this young girl down south who was hit and killed by a 100-year-old woman behind the wheel of a Jeep Liberty. And then Pat says, you were talking about crosswalks because the young girl didn't actually cross at one. In 2010, I was driving home on Hiawassee after work, and I had a woman walk out of the median into the front of my pickup. It was dusk, and she was wearing dark clothes. Traffic was going 45 miles an hour, and I had no chance of stopping. Even though there was nothing I could have done to avoid the accident, it still haunts me to this day. Even watching the commercials with the collision avoidance bother me. Most of them anger me because they show accidents that could have been avoided if the driver was paying attention. I don't know if a system like that would have saved her in my case, but maybe it would have helped with the guilt, but probably not, says Pat. Man, I couldn't imagine doing that. Actually being in an accident where it's a fatality and you know, whether it was your fault or not, you just feel that and you replay that stuff over all the time and not good. No. So sorry you had to go through that. Well, before we get to jury duty, which in the jury duty update today, a big update on a story we've been following for a while, the Dick Tips funeral home story.
There's an update.
Yeah, there's an update to that one. And people always ask for updates on just a handful of stories. That's one of them. But before that, there's a scam. I don't even know what the end goal is here, but it's definitely everywhere right now. And I'm almost positive both of you have received one of these messages. Again, I don't know what the method is. I don't know what the goal is because I didn't fall for it. But have you gotten, do you even know what I'm talking about by just saying the social media scam thing that's going on right now?
I do not.
Celia, have you seen this?
No.
Neither one of you? You definitely got it. You definitely got it. Where somebody sends you a message on Facebook or it's happening on Instagram and stuff too, and it says, is this you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely happened to me before. Even the MySpace days that went around.
And it has like a little thumbnail sometimes that might even be from your profile.
Oh, my God. I can't believe they found this picture of you, Sabrina. Check it out.
And that is popping up again on Facebook right now. It's everywhere, but they've also got it going around on Instagram. I'm going to take a wild guess. You click it, you get some kind of virus on your computer.
I don't know. I got it the other day, and I didn't even click the thing. I was just like, screw this guy. I don't know him.
Right. You're not going to click it, but a lot of people who maybe aren't on the radio or don't have that kind of incoming messages, like the amount of volume of emails and stuff we get, they're going to go, wow, wait, this is something I'm in? Did some kind of dirty tape leak or something? And people are clicking that like crazy, which I think fuels the spread further and further of that. Don't click it. It's not a porn of you, despite what you think it is. It's not a porn of you. If it is, you don't want to click that anyways. It's just a bad idea. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Jury duty is brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm. DeWittLaw.com, 1-800-DeWittLaw, and ask, A-S-K, at DeWittLaw.com. Moses will be joining us in the Bahamas, which should be fun, for a secret show coming up this week.
Oh, yeah.
Just a heads up. Normally, the secret shows are posted on Thursday, and very, very, you know, the timing is pretty predictable and consistent. This one might be off. I don't know what day it's going to be. I haven't figured out any of that. We got to get there first and then figure out the scheduling of things. But it will be up sometime this week or weekend for those of you who are secret show subscribers. That's why you got the bonus show with Dylan in the meantime for you to check out. So DeWittLaw.com, 1-800-DeWittLaw, and ask, A-S-K. At DeWittLaw.com. What would you do? That is the question. If you got caught stealing, in this case by a cocoa shop owner, not as in a shop that sells cocoa, but in cocoa there is a shop, and this was Bohemian Lair, a smoke shop in Cocoa Village, they caught this younger guy stealing from the store, and they said, you have a choice. Either you can do a Facebook Live apology, or the police who are here, I'm going to tell them I'm pressing charges, and you're going to go to jail for stealing from me. What do you do? Mm. The answer in Tyler Stanley's case was easy, and I'm sure he was embarrassed as hell, but he said, all right, here we go. and they made him do this Facebook Live apology.
My name is Tyler Stanley, and I made the biggest mistake of my life. I could have had a great job, and I made a huge mistake by stealing something from a place that I really like to visit, and it's definitely my favorite smoke shop. I couldn't feel worse about myself, and I'm a thief.
Coco PD is here right now, correct?
Yes, sir.
And I had the option to press charges or have you pay and have you apologize on Facebook.
Very nice about that, and I appreciate it.
How high is he?
I'm one of the
He sounds so stoned. And I would believe that this guy is super stoned, because not only did Tyler Stanley try to steal from a head shop and then apologize on Facebook Live for it, he was dropping off an application for a job there.
Oh, you dummy.
You don't drop off an application for a job and then steal stuff all in the same visit. Excuse me. Or in any visit at all. You shouldn't do that. But this guy tried to pull off both at the same time. And then the owner of the head shop, I guess, was getting some negative feedback for it and pulled the video down.
Why?
I don't know. I don't blame him. It's no different than in the 80s or the 90s, or I guess even now there's still places that do this. Damn it, Celine, I feel like you told me there was a place that did this not long ago, where when people steal, they put their picture up. Is there a place downtown that does that?
Yeah. Okay. So we've had an instance in the past where somebody was shamed with like a local restaurant in their Facebook page. And you know that there are places that they hang up the pictures in the back.
Yeah, or the fake IDs.
Pretty
even.
Sure the theme parks have like a whole wall of that stuff.
Yeah. There used to be guys back in the day, if you had a business with a marquee and you wrote them a bad check, they would put your name up on the marquee as somebody who writes a bad check. And the thought process was that they can't sue me for anything like this if they don't even have enough money to cover the check for whatever they were buying here.
Sure, like the wall of shame type stuff, yeah. You know, that they would put up. An update on a story we have been following for a very long time. This was about Mott. What was her first name? I'm trying to get the actual name because I see all our family's names. But Dick Tips was this guy who worked at a funeral home. And there was a funeral for Julie Mott. That was her name. And somebody showed up and stole her body.
Yes.
Stole her body from the funeral home and did God knows what with it. They still can't find it. They have no idea. This woman died. They were getting everything in order for her last rites beforehand. Then she died. Then they brought her to the funeral home. Then they thought, all right, we're going to do this and put her in the ground and be done with it. And somebody from Mission Park Funeral Chapels and Cemeteries stole the body, left with the body. And they haven't had many updates since that. They thought it was this crazy boyfriend, this ex-boyfriend of hers. Then they couldn't find out much there. There's a lot of people who they say they don't believe. And hold on, the jury made one thing clear. They did not believe Wilburn or anybody else stole her body, an allegation the company made from the start. The jury was asked this question. Did either John Doe or Bill Wilburn unlawfully appropriate the body of Julie Mott with the intent to deprive Tim and Charlotte Mott of the remains? They said no beside both of those questions, meaning the jury, after seeing all the evidence in this case, agreed that they accidentally cremated her, as was one of the theories.
Huh.
And the family gets $8 million in a settlement. Dick Tips is going to have to float $8 million to make it right here in this case of wrongdoing with the disappearance of Miss Julie Mott. So that may be where that ends. I mean, there was just, I think Dick Tips made it worse. He was the one who came out there and said somebody stole the body. If he would have just admitted, we made a huge mistake. We cremated your daughter on accident. Sorry about that.
How are they going to give them $8 million?
Maybe insurance?
A booming industry.
I don't know if they have $8 million in that business at all, but we'll see. We'll see how that all shakes out as that kind of comes to a close finally, and it's believed that there was just a mistake that somebody made that they tried to cover up from the beginning. Instead of all the craziness it could have been, it ends up that way a lot. This is a very, very tough story to tell, so I'm just going to tell it right here, and then we can get past it very quickly. A woman has been charged with child abuse after she was accused of cutting her 20-month-old son's genitalia with scissors last month. Ashley Marie Case, 23 years old, charged with aggravated and simple assault, endangering the welfare of a child, and on and on and on. She was changing his diaper. She said, there's no excuse for it. I just got the desire and the drive to cut him with the scissors and did that to this kid's genitals. And the mom now finds herself behind bars. So let's bleach that out of our minds.
My God.
Get back and talk about some other things, including a high school teacher who says, me too, and points to all the students in her classroom. She says, this is a problem nobody's talking about yet. Details on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Someday, Alexa will do everything.
Alexa, convince my mom I don't need to be set up on dates.
But until then,
I'm afraid I can't do that.
Just tell her to play WTKS-FM Orlando.
Getting WTKS Orlando Radio from iHeartRadio.
Follow him long enough and you could be treated to a late night live stream with slurred words. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Well, this is an interesting one. There's a teacher out of California, and I actually have the audio of her at some event, like some school event, going up at a board meeting and giving her story. And she is a teacher who is claiming Me Too, like part of the whole Me Too movement, against the students at her school and saying that this is a bigger problem and nobody's talking about this and this is a real issue that's not getting any attention. And interestingly enough, you would probably view it the other way around, since there's about a story a week about a teacher, a story a day usually, about a teacher and a student in some sort of sexual relationship that ends up blowing up. But this is a California high school teacher, and she's alleging sexual misconduct against several male students. She claims they touched her and sent her obscene emails. And that should be easy to prove, the emails. If you have obscene emails from the students and you can prove those to the school board, I find it hard to believe the school district wouldn't do anything about it, but that's what she's saying. Eva Ryder, a math and English teacher at Tamaulipas High School in Mill Valley, California, says that in the last 15 years, she's been harassed at least a dozen times. She says, it's time I say Me Too at this Union High School District Board meeting. She said, I've been slandered by a student spreading rumors that I made a drunken sexual advance on him at a party. That's something I should look at. I've been touched more than once by a student who also argues it's okay to describe his masturbation habits in the classroom. And now, because of all this, she's taking a leave of absence, and she says it's getting even worse because of that. Now, I have her talking at this board meeting. I don't know what to believe here, but it's a little hard to hear because it almost seems like somebody just had their camera out. Let's see if we can even hear what she's saying. Here's the meeting.
All of them are so graphic and they aren't fit for this public audience, but I can provide them if needed.
That's her.
These are only some of the more egregious offenses I've experienced, and like other women in this district, I have been sexually harassed, stalked, intimidated, threatened, bullied, slandered, and defamed by male students. After the single harassment incident deemed significant enough to reach the board in 2014, I was provided for the first time ed and board code policies governing appropriate age level training for all students, not just freshmen in social issues.
All right, so she's up giving this speech. She's talking about what these students have done to her, and she's pushing for a bigger movement, saying that, look, the kids are harassing the teachers here.
From my numerous inquiries since, the initiatives proposed by former admin, HR, and MCOE have either briefly appeared in a haphazard way or were dropped entirely. At this time, many incidents I've described remain unresolved, and the trauma they've induced has led to medical conditions for which I've chosen to take a partial leave next year.
All right, so she said next year she's taking a personal leave, so maybe she's going to get through the rest of this year. No word on if the school is still investigating this, but certainly some stuff to look at there. If the kids sent emails and they could see that they did it, then you got some evidence. They should also look into the fact that there's a student saying that she made a sexual advance on him drunkenly at a party, and figure out what's happening here.
Wait, but I think that, and it could be that they were at a party, but I think that it was her saying that he just made up a rumor.
No, she's saying she's been slandered by a student spreading rumors that she made a drunken sexual advance on him at a party. So if this student is saying that, I'm saying the school should investigate what the student is saying see if she actually did that.
Why are they at the same party?
And if they're not, and if they didn't, and he was just slandering her, then the school should act against the student on a level of fairness there. But they need to get down to the bottom of what exactly is happening here. And we'll see if any other teachers across the country, you know, they say, look, this is happening. These kids in class are out of control, and now it's to the point where as a female teacher, I'm being sexually harassed. So far, she's on her own, but we'll see where all of that goes. Meanwhile, it's a nightmare flight, and it's not often that you run into this, thank God. But there are a lot of videos of people completely freaking out on airplanes. Like the one that I always play that always scares everybody, where the lady screamed, God, you're my savior, a million times. Stop it, please. And you're on a flight, and that's going on and on and on. And there was another story about a woman on a flight who would not stop singing, I Will Always Love You.
I remember that. Didn't they have to emergency land that, too?
I think they did. I think they had to do an emergency landing on that one. And there's been others. Sometimes they'll just put up with it and they'll land and then somebody will get in trouble.
Was she, the I Will Always Love You, was she just doing the chorus? Or was she doing like the whole thing just in a loop?
I have no idea. Stay. But even if they were doing the whole song, eventually you'd go, oh my God, shut up. It's not as bad as You're My Savior, but it's pretty damn bad. And in this case, another emergency landing, or I guess this was on board a flight that was just about to take off, so they had to abort the landing or the takeoff in this case. Well, there's a woman who was upset. She got kicked off a flight after complaining about sitting next to a mother and a baby and threatening to have the cabin crew fired. The 19-year-old was traveling with her 8-month-old son, Mason, said the woman started shouting and swearing after getting last on the airplane and boarding last. Look, if you got last boarding, you deal with it. You deal with it. You get what you can. You sit in the emergency seat. You sit in that little tiny little last row of seats, which sucks. Everybody knows those are terrible. But you get what you can. Deal with it for the flight and then move on with your life. But she got pissed. She had to sit next to a little kid and they booted her off the plane. I think there might be a totally different story about a kid with a temper tantrum on a flight, too. That somebody had sent in, C-Lane. I think that might be unrelated to this. But here's where they booted the woman off. See, they went up to her.
He's not going to cry the whole time.
Let's say, we'll put you on the next flight.
Your name.
Let's try to get the name of all the female employees. Okay, I know that you don't want to sit next to a little kid. I was on a flight one time to, it might have been San Francisco. It might have been from Florida to San Francisco, for God's sake, which is like a 5-hour plus flight. And there was a mother who sat on the aisle across from me, and her son, who might have been 6, sat on the seat next to me because they didn't have seats together. And I was like, I'll trade. I'll let you guys. And it just ended up where all of a sudden I had like a kid for the entire flight.
Nice.
And he's like playing with stuff. He goes, can I have my snacks? He's asking me questions for permission to do stuff.
That's awkward.
I'm not your dad, little kid. Hey, very, very odd. But you know what you do? You shut up and you deal with
Thank
it.
Tabitha, you may not have a job tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get her fired?
No, I can't. I apologize.
She's saying, get off, I'll put you on the next flight. No, I got to be on this one. Well, that's what you get. You throw a fit. You know what she thought was going to happen? A lot of people do this, and this is the worst type of person. She thought, I'll throw a big-ass fit right here, and somebody will stand up and go, I'll switch with her, and then sit there just so the plane could take off. She thought she would throw a fit, make a scene, and get what she wanted. and it didn't work out. And then they're saying, we'll put you on the next flight. And she's trying to deny that, too. The one that somebody said to Tips at the News Junkie, C-Lane, was that another story?
It was a different flight. This says, demonic child torments passengers on 8-hour transatlantic flight. This was from Germany to Newark, New Jersey.
Oh, 8 hours of crying?
No, the kid was just allowed to do whatever he wants. He's climbing all over the chairs. He's yelling.
Well, where's the airline staff?
Where's the Benadryl?
Normally, kids fall asleep when they get up high and the pressure hits them.
It's not clear whether
Is that him?
Oh, my God.
He sounds like a little monster. All right, parents, if you're on a plane and this is your kid, shame on you. Not even the kid. Shame on you for not getting a hold of the situation.
The boy's mother, who is not identified but appears to be American, attempted to soothe her son by asking a flight attendant to get the Wi-Fi going so we could get the iPad going.
Digital mom is what she is. Yeah. She's saying, what we got to do is get the Wi-Fi fired up. So I can put, I don't know what cartoon little kids watch right now.
Peppa Pig
on the screen for little Johnny here.
Basically, say you could help this along if all you got to do is just get the Wi-Fi thing.
And did they do that or no? 8 hours of just complete abject screaming and freaking out from this little child, I'm guessing. That might have been the issue there. That was a whole different flight altogether that was in that situation. You don't want to be in this. We're flying very soon. I don't want to be in a situation where there's, well, I guess our plane is so small that there's no chance of any additional children coming along. Mm-hmm. It would be C-Lane that would have to throw a temper tantrum and ruin my flight.
Probably just fall asleep.
Yeah, I don't expect that to happen. I didn't think that it would be a problem.
Bust out the shuts.
Yeah, that might happen too, because those small little private planes, just like you can get on them very easily, you can do whatever you want on them, at least to a certain extent. Good news for everybody. Here's a good time for good news. The movie Get Out is headed back to theaters for $0.00. Get Out on President's Day will be in the theaters. And if you have an AMC theater next to you, it's free to get in and watch the movie.
What's the catch?
There's no catch, actually.
They're not going to make you sign up for anything?
No, it's first come, first serve, so you got that. You have to get your tickets from the AMC box office. So if you wanted to go, you might want to go like in the morning and go, hey, Get Out. Can I get some tickets? And they'll give them to you so you don't have to worry about it. But other than that, it appears to just be right there. And what it is, they made a deal. If you have an AMC theater that's somewhere in the vicinity around you on President's Day, you ain't got nothing else going on. You can go out, bring a date with you, a little post-Valentine's Day thing maybe. Watch Get Out, which is a funny and interesting movie that you may have missed, and it's $0.00. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio. 104.1.
He's smiling, and that alone should scare you. This is the News Junkie.
In just a moment, I guess it's Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition time, because I'm seeing this all over the place. I'm seeing the new cover model and putting stuff out there everywhere they possibly can. I don't know why they would do that in February. Why wouldn't the Swimsuit Edition for Sports Illustrated be like in the heat of the summer or spring at least, where it made a little bit more sense? I don't know why they're timing it this way, but they have released not only that, but today a video that's going viral of Kate Upton almost dying. She was filming for the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition in Aruba, and always makes me want to do the Beach Boys song every
Jamaica.
Time. How many people go to Aruba and when they land sing that? Probably to the point where everybody in Aruba hates that song.
I'm sure the airport in Allentown is just tired of Billy Joel.
It's a real irritant there. 2018 Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition is a wrap, and Kate Upton, though she's not on the cover, And I guess she's been in it a bunch of times. I didn't even know she was only 25 years old. Jeez.
No, she's 30 now.
Is she? Because it said 25-year-old. The force is strong enough to take the 25-year-old supermodel off her feet, unless this is wrong what I'm reading here. But
well, let's see.
That's what it says. So she was doing this shoot in Aruba, and a gigantic wave hit her. And I think she might even be topless as this happens to make it more awkward.
Okay.
Some guy, the photographer, tries to catch her, and it was a whole mess. She ends up underwater and sideways in the video that's going viral today. You can check it out on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. Is that wrong? She's not 25?
I don't know. I'm looking it up now.
All right, see if she is. But she is okay. She survived. And she laughed off the event soon after. She said, I saw the next wave coming, and it didn't look that large from my point of view, but it must have hit the rock just right and caught on.
Jeez.
The skirt, whenever it's wet with all the tools, is very heavy, and it dragged me down, so everybody got scared.
Yeah, she is 25. I don't know where I was seeing somebody was 31.
Well, like she's been out there longer than that, that she'd be older. But Kate Upton nearly dying naked, which, if she's going to do it some way, I guess that's one of the ways to do it for her. So she'll be in Sports Illustrated. She lives on, but you could see the moment that almost took her down on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. Here is Brian with a dispatch.
Good afternoon, News Junkies. Dick Tips here once again.
No, it's not.
About this whole cremated body and $8 million thing. Yeah. You know what? We accidentally cremated the $8 million. Mm-mm. So good luck with that. Dick Tips out. Bye.
Thank you, sir. That's a weird bit that you're doing, but thank you. Here's MJQ.
Yes, yes, quite. Tis I, Snob Wastron 2000 here. I'm a time traveler from the future, from the year 3031. And it is all shrines to me.
All right, Mikey.
All right, I don't understand why this guy is so upset because he's stuck in this year. If he says he's from 2021, shouldn't, like, everybody that he knows in 2021 still be alive today and he can go back and reconnect with all these people again? And it's not like he's alone in this world or anything. Like, everyone he knew in 2018 is probably still here. So go back and say hi to them and be like, hey, it's me. I'm just 3 years older or 4 years older than everybody. So sorry, but hey, it's me. I'm back. And, like, wouldn't his 2018 self still be here? And, like,
he could run into himself.
That'd be fun, because I know everyone has that fantasy. You, like, meet your person and, like, you know, run off together and go do things that you know, behind closed doors. I think that would be cool, too.
Wait, have sex with yourself? That's a fantasy people have?
Yeah.
Go back into the past, meet yourself, and do that. I don't know, Mikey. It honestly doesn't make a lot of sense. If you missed that, that's up on See It Now in the News Junkie app as well. Two people say they're from the future. I'm going to say both of them probably phonies. Well, no, I'm going to say 100% phonies. Here's my PIM.
Didn't Willy Wonka actually give the factory to Charlie at the end of the original movie? I never read the book, so I don't know how those go, but I'm pretty sure Charlie got the chocolate factory.
Yeah.
And if they're going to do a second one, they should definitely go in that direction.
Well, they already did a second one, right?
Not a sequel.
What was the Charlie in the Glass Elevator or whatever? Or Willy Wonka in the Glass Elevator?
I think it's Charlie in the
Glass
Elevator.
Was that a sequel or just different?
It was a sequel book, yeah.
But they didn't do a movie.
I don't think they did a movie.
Out of the whole thing. I didn't read the book either. I don't know what happens in the end. Here's Slippery Dog.
Hey, Junkies. Nice show so far today. I just wanted to comment on the Willy Wonka story from the next episode. Mm-hmm. I would say I agree. Sequel would be a great idea.
No.
Willy Wonka and the Rise of the Oompa Loompas would be a great title. All right, see ya.
That's a good one. Rise of the Oompa Loompas.
If they were going to do it, that's the one that would get my attention. If they just say, we're going to remake it again, the Johnny Depp one was such a travesty that I wouldn't even be able to give it a chance.
Somebody texted in and said the story about the new Willy Wonka or Willy Wonka franchise was going to be a prequel.
That one's going to be before? See, that I'd be okay with. But still, does there need to be another Willy Wonka? I'm saying the actor playing the character. What's it, Gene Roddenberry? Who's the guy?
Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder? Gene Wilder did that role in such a way that I think he kind of Heath Ledgered it. Like, when you nail something so hard that anybody else doing it just seems god-awful. And I don't know if anybody ever, ever will amount to anywhere near that level of Willy Wonkiness, or Wonkness, depending on how you'd like to say it. Here's Clyde did us with a dispatch.
I agree. Kids should be taught to look both ways before crossing the street. We kind of got to get back to basics with that. I told my daughter flat out she will die if she gets hit by a car. Mommy and daddy will probably end up getting divorced over the grief of losing a child. Her sister will become a drug addict because she can't handle the pressure of impressing two parents.
Jesus.
Daddy will probably live in a trailer. Yeah, she may be three, but she got the point.
All that's going to happen. And then all of a sudden she's looking both ways when she's crossing the street. So mission accomplished. See, Lane, I've got some good news for you.
Okay.
Well, onions, you cook with them a lot. Mm-hmm. They're in a lot of different recipes. And I know that because I hate when onions are used in the apartment. I hate it. There's a lot of them at the same time. I have like a real reaction to it.
And, the tears?
Not just tears, like just up in my nasal area just gets really irritated by the onions in the air. Some people have it so bad that they'll put on like diving masks while they cut onions. And it's a real problem for people who are sensitive to it. Good news. Tear-free onions are here.
No way.
They have made, over the course of 30 years, using old-fashioned crossbreeding, tear-free onions. They did a bunch of stuff to test the volatile compounds of onions and then sorted them out year after year after year to try to make them less likely to cause offense to your senses, less likely to make you cry. And now Bayer, the medicine company who's behind this whole thing, has come up with this, and they call them Sunions, S-U-N-I-O-N-S.
Okay.
And Sunions are sweeter, milder, and easier on the eyes. The stakes are high now. They're bringing this to market. They've done, I guess, some taste tests. And
doesn't it kind of weird you out, though, considering that they, you know, made this in a lab?
They do this kind of crossbreeding stuff with almost everything that you're eating on a daily basis from the grocery store.
So no, the answer is no.
No, it doesn't bother me that they would do crossbreeding, but they said that testers reported preferring these Sunions 5-1, which is kind of surprising. Like, are there just because of the eye irritation approving them or preferring them over the regular ones? And as long as when they're doing genetically modified type of stuff or crossbreeding stuff, if they don't make it worse or if they don't do anything that's going to harm you, there's really no foul in it. And that's what they're doing. Let's see if it catches on. Maybe people will love Sunions. Maybe people will really appreciate that. They don't make you cry and you can cook without the worries of wearing a scuba mask, because that's just not convenient. Back in just a moment with your final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Wednesday. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio Orlando on Facebook, brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. A safe haven of sorts for all of the 95%ers. This is the News Junkie.
Final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything up for a Wednesday. C-Lane gathering information to, I guess, write a book at some point in time.
On how to not cry while you chop onions.
They're telling you how to save money on these new Sunions, which are tear-free onions. Mm. And it said 8,000 tips. Do this.
Chew gum. Don't cut the root off.
See, I have tried all the ways. I feel like it has to do with, you know, your situation. Mm-hmm. I have allergies like crazy, and if I'm within 20 feet of raw onions being cut, I'm affected by it.
Yeah, I think it's a very personal experience thing, and some people might have this work for them or that work for them, but for people who have to do a lot of cutting of this stuff, man.
The one that has been suggested here and is one that I use that seems to have some luck is freezing them in the freezer for a little while. Because what's making you cry or what's making stuff get in the air is the juice in the onions, getting airborne and getting in your face. So if you throw them in the freezer, let that juice harden up a bit,
And then you they're a little bit easier on the eyes.
It could kill, if only for the reason that, like I said, if you do recipes, if you make a lot of food at home, almost every damn recipe has onions in it. It's onions in everything you could think of. And any kind of thing where you're building flavor has that in it. So if people are interested, that thing could absolutely explode. Our radio brethren not having the best of weeks, specifically over at WEEI, which is again in the news, and not for something good. Advertisers are jumping ship from WEEI because of some of these recent mistakes. They had Tom Brady on, and they talked about how one of the other employees called his daughter a piss ant, I think. Then they, what was it? There's the one I'm missing in between that and the recent one. Then there was the Asian accent thing.
And then, something else, though.
They screwed up again. I don't know what the second screw up was, but there is another one. And now all live programming has been halted on WEEI as they go through one of these, what are the courses? What do they call these things?
How not to piss off Tom Brady 101?
That's part of it. Oh, sensitivity training courses for everybody involved. So the whole radio station staff is going to have to sit down, and they're going to go, here's what you did wrong. Here's
what's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, but when you have the advertisers starting to peel off,
yeah,
that you got to do something.
Well, what was the other thing they did? It was the Tom Brady thing, and then what was the other EEI flub?
Man.
Oh, it was the Asian man?
Yeah.
There was a third one.
There was one other one in the middle of those two. I'm almost positive
there was one, I think, before the daughter thing came out.
It might have been. There's just a whole span of things that they were getting in trouble for. This latest one has got them all off the air and into sensitivity training, which I'm sure is just an absolute blast. Let's go to Lunel. Go ahead, Lunel.
Hey.
Hey.
Y'all was talking about cutting onions, about the tears in your eyes and everything.
Sure.
The best thing, the best way I know how to cut onions is I put an unlit match stem in my mouth.
Yeah?
And it absorbs all that onion juice that when you cut it.
Oh, same way as it does a fart.
So it don't go to your eyes.
So you're just sitting there with an unlit match in your mouth?
Yeah, it the sulfur catches all the juice.
Hmm.
And this is successful for you?
Yes, I don't cry when I cut onions.
Oh, that's good.
And she has the best onions on this side of Mississippi, huh?
You got that right. You can also peel them underwater, and you still.
Who's that?
Anyway, you can peel them underwater, and you won't. Your eyes won't sting when you cut them.
Lunel, who's that back there in the background?
That was my old man, Chris. He hollered, "Hey,
yeah,
hey, Chris."
All right, what are you guys doing today, you and Chris?
We just sitting here listening to y'all like we do every day.
Oh, thank you for that.
Well, today's a special day. Have you guys celebrated yet?
Oh, no. Happy Valentine's Day to all you guys.
Well, we're almost off there. That means 20 minutes. You two bone.
Yeah, what about Chris? I mean, you and Chris go to make some sweet Valentine's Day love today?
Oh, we do that all the time.
All right.
Yep.
There ain't nothing wrong with that. It don't have to be Valentine's Day.
Yeah, right.
How long have you two been together, Lunel?
Oh, going on 40 years.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations.
Wow. Do you have any tips on Valentine's Day and how other couples can stay together so long?
We're in our 60s. We got a daughter. She just turned 48 last month.
Yeah?
So no advice.
So what's the advice, then?
Like I said about the matches, put the matches in your mouth, and you won't get eyes burned eyes.
All right, I'll try
that
tonight
for marriage and onions.
Uh huh.
Hey, y'all keep partying, y'all. Y'all sound real good on the radio.
Thank you, Lunel.
She just pumped me up.
I guess it's just a problem solver. You put a match unlit in your mouth, sex life gets better.
Exactly, and if that doesn't work, go underwater with some onions,
and then
resurface as a new man or woman.
We know a lot about onions and crying that we did not know just a short time ago. Maybe we'll learn even more from these dispatches, but judging by how dispatches have been going today, it's not your best day, folks. I thought on Valentine's Day you'd start hitting some home runs. Maybe at the end here. Maybe people really step it up. It's not even like 95%ers today, as in 95% of the dispatches are garbage. it's like 99. So maybe we fix that right here. Let's see. Here is Von Ripperton with a dispatch.
The most epic fail. I'm working this job by the beach, and I can't leave my truck because I'm inspecting stuff. And so I've been peeing in this little foam coffee cup.
Oh, tell me.
Just pouring it out when no one's looking. Well, I was peeing in the crack of my door, and the cup started getting fuller and fuller, and the piece of cup that I was holding on to broke.
Oh.
So the entire cup full of urine fell and smashed on the ground, and I peed on the inside of my truck, so that was awesome.
Happy Valentine's Day. There you go. Let's go to Cabo Wabo.
Hi there, news junkies. Cabo Wabo here.
Hi.
First of all, I think airlines should be allowed to sedate unruly passengers or their kids.
You're like a dark gun.
If they can't get them off the plane before they leave the ground. That's for the benefit of everybody else on board. And secondly, thanks a bunch for the Secret Shows magnet that arrived in the mail this weekend.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. Wiggle, wiggle. Pop, pop.
Thank you for your support, Cabo Wabo. Everybody else who wants one of those welcome packages, you're going to need to sign up first. Go to GetSecretShows.com. Here's No ID with a dispatch.
Ah, you mentioned the tear-free onion. I would love to see something like that if it's not at a hefty price, because we do about 100 pounds of onions a week.
Damn.
And they come in 50-pound bushels, and I'm letting you know right now, you need more than a scuba mask after doing so many onions. But I'll be looking forward to seeing that. Oh.
Thank you, No ID. This is right down his alley. 50, what do you say, 50 onions at a time? They do like 100 onions?
100 pounds a day.
100, you know, that's a lot to do at one setting. You think one makes you cry? That would be like burning your skin off.
People with contacts don't ever get affected by it.
Oh, really?
So if the onions are too expensive, maybe they need to make onion contacts.
They have contacts. They've proven that this is a thing that blocks you from it. I guess it makes sense. You've got a film over your eye.
I don't know if it's proven. I just know from my time in the food service industry that you could see the line of back of the house cooks. Three of them are crying, and the one guy with contacts, good to go.
Well, this guy's talking about doing that many a week. That would be just unbelievably heavy on you at each round you were doing. Let's see, who else? Taint Blaster.
The amount of bad dispatches are too damn high.
He's on board with me. Here's Michael.
Hello. Don't forget, Jimmy Buffett is also the nephew of Warren Buffett, so there's some banker blood in his background.
Why does everybody think that Jimmy Buffett and Warren Buffett are related? Just because of the last name?
Yes, and then recently started calling him Uncle Buffett or Warren, Uncle Warren.
They're like joking with each other?
Something along those lines, but it's just because they're rich and friends.
Yeah. They're super rich. They're like billionaires, so they do billionaire jokes. Here's Slippery Dog. Oh, hang on.
Hey, Junkies. Nice show so far today.
I already did that. I'm sorry. Let me go over here. I got a mix of these going on. Here's Mel Mello.
If I had to guess, I would say they are not real.
Time travelers?
There's only been a few qualifying cases in time travel.
No.
And they're still not even that good. So we'll see. We'll see.
The only ones I like when you see a story about, oh my God, is this a time traveler? It'll be a really old photo, and then somebody in the really old photo will have some kind of new technology. Like they'll have a Bluetooth headset in a photo from the 1920s. Or they'll have something that seems just drastically out of place. Those ones, I like the story on it. But all these people now on YouTube who are saying, hey, look, I'm a time traveler. No, there's nothing to it. It's obvious. Let's see. The stories that didn't make the cut. White powder sent this time to President Obama's D.C. office.
No.
That makes for two. Let's see. A school council to consider asking a teacher who made anti-military comments to resign. Meanwhile, Harvard University is offering graduate courses on feces in 20th and 21st century French literature.
Ew, stinky.
That's very, very particular. And, you know what, let's just stop it there while we're ahead. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Valentine's Day, everybody. Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. And to all those out there who are single on Valentine's Day, there are people who love you in the world. Maybe not me, maybe somebody else, but somebody out there cares about you on this Valentine's Day. Yeah, you know what? I love you. To those of you who are out there just wandering the world alone right now,
aww,
I love you. And I love you too, Muffin Lady. How about that for Valentine's Day?
What about us?
You guys are all right.
I love you, Brini.
You guys are thumbs up. And yeah, anything for you, C-Line? Everybody's doing a Valentine's Day shout out.
Oh, I already did my Valentine's Day.
You know what? This whole thing that you did where you got it knocked out before Valentine's Day, a little bit much at this point.
I'm going to knock something this afternoon.
The score on the year, 54 to 52. Some of these songs, love songs. Some of these Today I Learns are Valentine's Day related. So a mix of the two. Today I Learn this song right here.
In Your Eyes.
In Your Eyes by Mr. Peter Gabriel. In Your Eyes was not added to the iconic boombox scene in the movie Say Anything until post-production. When the scene was shot, it was Fishbone's Boning in the Backyard that was jamming on that very famous boombox.
Also a beautiful song.
They went back and replaced it because it just didn't fit. It didn't work. However, In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel went in the scene perfectly. Today I Learned Valentine's Day originated as a festival to help fertilize women by drunkenly beating them with dog and goat hides. We've come a long way, folks. From February 13th to 15th, the Romans celebrated the Feast of Lupercalia. The men sacrificed a goat and a dog, then whipped women with the hides of the animals they had just slain. They were drunk when doing so, and they thought this would make the women fertile. Today I Learned this song right here.
I Will Always Love You.
I Will Always Love You by Miss Whitney Houston, actually written by Dolly Parton in the first place, is the most successful, best-selling single of all time by a female artist. This song has sold so many copies, it's gone platinum time and time and time and time again. And it's gone platinum with two different singers, because Dolly Parton, the writer, did it first. And then for the Bodyguard soundtrack, somebody came up with a bright idea to have Whitney Houston do it. That worked out real well for him.
Oh, yeah.
Today I Learned in Japan, women give chocolates to men on Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
And men reciprocate a month later for something called White Day. I think somebody mentioned this on a dispatch yesterday. On White Day, the reverse happens. Men who received a chocolate of love, or Kiri Choco, courtesy chocolate, on Valentine's Day are expected to return the favor by giving gifts. Oh. Traditionally, popular White Day gifts are cookies, jewelry, white chocolate, white lingerie, and marshmallows.
Those sound delicious.
That's how they do it over there. Today I Learned this group right here.
Boys to Men.
Boys to Men is correct.
You're about to get a lot of people horny in their cars with this song.
Boys to Men started out in a high school bathroom. Nate, Mark, Wayne, Sean, I guess that's their actual names.
Yes.
They started singing in a group a cappella. They worked on it more and more, and then at one point in time, they were doing a tryout, or not really a tryout, but I guess just an audition. I don't know. Maybe they were just singing. They were working together.
The acoustics in the bathrooms, especially schools, have always been known to be amazing.
It was a practice, and they thought they'd go with those amazing acoustics. Somebody else overheard them, and it was actually that meeting in the bathroom where Boys to Men made their way to their record deal. Today, they're in Pakistan has a full ban on the celebration of Valentine's Day. Started just a few years ago, and they no longer allow it. And finally, today I learned this guy right here. Yes,
love. Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye is indeed correct. Oh, get the points right. There we go. The iconic Motown bassist, James Jamerson. What a name. James Jamerson played a lot for Marvin Gaye, including the song What's Going On. He, with What's Going On, was so drunk when he recorded that, he did it lying on his back in the studio. Drilled it first take, the consummate professional. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Phillips Files coming up next, followed by Corporate Time with Tom and Dan, right here on Real Radio. And happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I love you.